listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com, seeking solutions.
You are all about to get on this record. Getting to be a strange place. A lot of crazy things are happening. A lot of questions need to be asked. A lot of puzzles need to be put together. And here are all the pieces that you're going to get from one man right here on The Big Puzzle with your host, the one and only man from Canada, Mr. Barry Ritz.
Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and of course you gators and grannies to the Sunday afternoon edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince. I'm coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia, broadcasting through the facilities of shakeandwakeradio.com and also being heard on the Truth Be Told Radio Network. I always start the shows off with a plug for the network, guys, because we are viewer-supported. So if you can help them in any way at all, even a cup of coffee a month, I know the people behind the scenes would much appreciate anything that you can spare. I know times are tough, but they are viewer-supported, and we really have some good stuff going on over here at these stations. So let's get behind them. Today I've got the Duracell Bunny with me again. Of course, we all know I'm referring to Roger Landry. One gentleman I just enjoy immensely talking with. I've been talking with Roger for many years and looking forward to conversation today. Before I get Roger going here, I do got to say my prayers right now for the people in New Orleans and Louisiana. They're just about to get hammered with a 15-mile wide F3 tornado. They're expecting massive devastation, probably on the same scale as many of the bad ones we've seen in the last 15 years. So they are in my prayers. Let's hope that not too many people die out of this, guys, but it's going to be a bad one. Roger, always good to have you back in, my friend. There's a pile of stuff to talk about. Before we went on the air here, I know you want to talk about TLB talks, and I want to talk about Afghanistan and whatever else comes to your mind today. Not that there's a shortage of things going on down there in the United States of America. Welcome back to the show, guys.
Well, I appreciate you having me on, and you opened the show up, or my intro up, with telling people that you and I have talked often for the last, I don't know how many years. What you failed to tell anybody is that in those 9 years of cumulative time, you actually got at least 30 or 40 words in.
And I appreciate that. I really do, Roger. You know, you're getting better with age. You're kind of like a bottle of wine, buddy.
Don't even go there.
Actually, let me say a couple things during the course of my hour, and I really do appreciate that. But I know you're full of information. I've been reading some of the articles you've been posting. Whatever you want to start with first, you want to talk about TLB talks and how that's working out. But after that, let's get into Afghanistan and talk about that charade.
Well, I want to talk about all of it because it's all connected. Whether it's TLB talk, whether it's Joe Biden, whether it's Afghanistan, whether it's right now, what is the biggest lie ever told and I can't even say sold to humanity, because right now the pushback is not only big and global, but it's becoming immense. You and I discussed this well over, I don't know, 6 months ago when I told you I was seeing, okay, a ripple in the pond where Americans were starting to wake up. And then probably about, I don't know, 3 or 4 months ago, I said to you, I can see a wave of awakening in the American society, because I've constantly told everybody who listens to me, America is the last to wake up. But when they wake up in an American fashion. So today I'm not seeing a ripple and I'm not seeing a wave. What I'm seeing is the rise of a tsunami. That's exactly what I'm seeing. And it's not just in America. Okay, it's all over Europe. It's all over the world. The Australians, on the 31st of August, they're going to have a huge demonstration down there that's going to be peaceful as hell, but it's going to make a big, big splash. New Zealand, the tyranny in New Zealand is absolutely, it's just off the scale. And the people are saying, this is enough. We have a half a dozen doctors' organizations spread out across the planet screaming to the world, listen to me, they're not talking, they're bellowing to the entire planet that these vaccines are genocide. They're telling us this. There are doctors out there saying that if you got all three, which means the two shots and the booster, that you probably have between 2 and 3 years to live. If you've taken the normal shots, meaning the two shots without the booster, you may have as much as, but not more than, 10 years to live. I'm not joking about this. I can't stand here and prove this to you, but I want you, anybody in the audience, to come up with an answer for why are these experts who have nothing to gain and everything to lose by making us aware of this, why are they even opening their mouth? Because as soon as they do, they get thrown in, they get kicked out onto the street to be run over by any vehicle passing by. This is what's happening. We have soldiers right now. There is a, I think it was a Lieutenant Colonel Marine who got on social media to tell the entire world of the tyranny that was going on in Afghanistan and how this was absolutely, okay, the tyranny that is bringing his brothers down. In other words, the fallen soldiers in Afghanistan. None of this needed to happen. What did they do? Of course, immediately they relieved him from duty. You're in the military. The one thing you're not allowed to do is say what you feel. And again, anybody can push back against that, but the military is a special situation. It's not normal life, and you do have restricted ability to voice your opinion. Yes, you do. And he knew this when he stepped up to do it, and he knew what the repercussions would be. And this is a career officer. You only need 20 years in the military to retire. I would bet you he was awful close. And I would bet you that it didn't make a difference to him. He stepped up to say what he was going to say. So if we're talking about vaccines, which we need to get a little bit more into depth in this discussion today, if we're talking about vaccines, if we're talking about Joe Biden, if we're talking about Afghanistan, if we're talking about just about anything else you can see that is catastrophic or reaching the level of catastrophe on this planet today, it's all connected. That's not a joke. That's an absolute fact. And what I'd like to do today, I spent a little bit of time, and you all heard me say this a million times already. Here comes a million and one. Connecting the dots. And that's my opening, Barry. Thank you.
Well, that was pretty good opening. That's probably right up there in a few that you've given me in the last 5 years, Roger. But I agree with everything that you've said in the last couple of minutes here, that everything that we see going on in our world today is connected, and that these psychopaths that are putting these programs and mandating these changes in our society, you know, they sat down many years ago and planned this out. This virus was planned years and years ahead of when it was actually exposed to the public. The vaccines that they're exposing us to, well, they've been working on those for years. And, you know, to tell us that they don't know the long-term effects of these so-called
Event 201.
Exactly. Roger, they know exactly. Yeah. They know exactly what this is going to do to the human body. I honestly believe that, to within a point.
Yeah. You are absolutely right, and you keyed off the very first point I want to make, all right? I want to tell everybody listening, and you all know that if you've been listening to me on Barry's show for years, one of my hottest topics has always been vaccines. Vaccines do massive amount of damage to humanity. That's an absolute fact. It's not a joke. But now it's been taken to a whole different level. I would tell you, and anybody who wants to check these facts, I beg you to, because all it's going to do is prove to you exactly the truth. And that's what I'm giving you right now. I would tell you that I believe the swine flu vaccine was pulled off the shelves because it was responsible for 53 deaths. Listen to me. It was pulled off the shelf, never to be seen again, because it was responsible for 53 deaths. There were two other vaccines that were pulled during trial phases because they were causing heart conditions such as stroke, such as, I don't know, myocardial infarction, things like this, things we're seeing now today. Mm-hmm. But it was only a few of them. And these vaccines were pulled off the market, never to be seen again. Now, let's run a comparison test, okay? If you take the information that's being given to us by different organizations, not so much the government, although even theirs has some level of respect, because if you know that their numbers are only 10% accurate and you can add a zero, you come pretty close to the actual numbers. And in some cases, they even say it only represents 1%. Then you add a zero and then another zero. But let's talk about what's going on with the vaccine, because right now what you are looking at is the genocide of humanity. And I'm not talking about everybody. I'm talking about a massive amount of. I want you to remember what I just said about 53 deaths caused the absolute yanking of this vaccine, which these, you know, these pharmaceutical companies had invested a lot of money into, but they were pulled, 53 deaths. I want you to tell me, are there 53 deaths already attributed to the COVID-19 vaccines? And they're not vaccines, they're gene therapies, but that's what everybody calls them, so we'll call them that. All right, no, there's not 53 deaths, add a zero. No, there's not 530 deaths, add a zero. No, there's not 5,300 deaths, add a zero. No, there's not 53,000 deaths, add a zero. Globally, scientists are screaming the number of deaths attributed to these vaccines is already in the millions. The number of humanity that have been maimed or harmed for life is probably well over 10 million. This is the most destructive pharmaceutical product ever made and distributed to humanity in the history of humanity. Now, let's go all the way back to when I started this little rant here, and I said after 53 deaths, they pulled the H1N1, and I believe that's what it was, the H1N1 vaccine, never to be seen again. Well, if you've got 5.3 million deaths, why the hell are you forcing me to take this vaccine? Tell me that. Why are you forcing me to take something I absolutely know has a damn good chance, better than any other pharmaceutical product in the history of mankind, to either harm or kill me? This is what we're living in. You are being shamed into taking it or being ostracized from humanity. So a lot of people are sucking it up and they're taking the vaccine. Let me explain something to you. That's the stupidest thing you ever did in your life. And you're going to find out about that. It'll just take a year or two. Mm. Okay, Barry, I'll breathe.
I don't know, Roger. Keep going. I was enjoying that, buddy. I don't know how to add to that right now because you took all
the words. But it's the truth.
It's the truth.
How the hell can you tell me I'm going to pull a vaccine because it has 53 deaths when we have a vaccine where the deaths by a lot of really reputable scientists are already in the millions across the planet? The deaths as a result of this vaccine, in the millions, not 53. They
Roger,
pulled the.
The biggest problem we've got is getting this information to the public, because they're not getting this information. Of course, media is completely quashing this. I was just at the VAERS site there today. I was taking a look at the numbers. If their numbers are accurate, any depiction, they're telling us it's up around 13,000, some odd, 300 now, I think, is the number I saw of deaths that can be directly attributed. That's their numbers. And you said these numbers on an average are 10% of what's actually happening. Yeah. Well, how do we get that information out to the public? That's the biggest hurdle we have right now. Because, Roger, if the public really knew what was going on with this genocide, there'd be a stop to it overnight. But all I hear in Canada 24/7 is go get your vaccine. They told me yesterday or on Friday I phoned the rink they're going to have hockey this year. But I can't play hockey unless I get fully vaccinated. What a crock. And they're doing this across the board where they're coercing people into getting this, Roger. It's got to come to a stop. It really does. I don't know how to get I just don't know how to get the information out to the public here, because all they're doing is listening to what's being told to them on CBC and CTV. And they're just drinking that diarrhea and they're going to bed. Go ahead.
It's actually a little bit worse than that. And no, it's actually a whole hell of a lot worse than that. Let's talk about that. Okay. I just got done saying that it's not 53 deaths attributed or permanent injuries attributed to this vaccine. It's in the millions. We stopped a major vaccine for 53 deaths. And now globally, that number is so insignificant, it's asinine. But yet, you have Joe Biden telling everybody who can support the infrastructure of the United States that they have to be vaccinated. You've got the military, who is the biggest woke organization on the planet right about now, telling all of their people that they need to be vaccinated. Let me ask you a question. If any of this is true, which I strongly believe it is, about the ability of this vaccine over the next 10 years to wreak havoc on the global human population, over the next 2 years to see it start in a very big fashion, the deaths happening. Mm. And you've just told everybody in your military that they are required to take this vaccine or these multiple vaccines, shot number one, shot number two, and how many boosters come down the road?
So every year.
If any of this is true, what you are looking at is the decapitation of the U.S. military. End of story. That's exactly what you're looking at. You are forcing them to take a vaccine, which is not a vaccine, a gene therapy that is already the most destructive pharmaceutical mechanism ever given to humanity. And you're telling your military, which protects this country, okay? And this is the same in every country that's happening, okay? You're telling your military that they need to go out and take an unacceptable risk, or that's the same thing as saying, okay, everybody, we're opening the door. We're at 20,000 feet. You've got your parachute, jump out. Oh, before you go, we need to tell you something. One out of every 1,000 chutes doesn't open, and that's the chute and the backup chute. But it's only one out of every 1,000. So go ahead and jump out. Let me explain something to you, okay? How many people do you think would never jump out of that plane? A hell of a lot. But at least they're aware of the consequences. We are being told by our employers. We are being told by our government. We are being told by our schools. It's not being mandated by the government. It isn't, because the government literally rules these organizations. Okay. And it's telling them, you're going to make this mandatory. You companies, you schools, you hospitals, you're going to make it mandatory. And what you're doing is, once the deaths start, the military crumbles. The infrastructure of this country crumbles. America crumbles. It's not just America. The same thing happens in Canada. The same thing happens in Australia. The same thing happens in New Zealand. The same thing happens in England. The same damn thing happens in Finland. Should I go on? This is what humanity is looking at. If I sound a little bit more excited than I usually am, we're being genocided. What the hell do you want me to do? Chuckle?
Roger, in all the years I've had you on radio, buddy, I've never heard you this mad. But you know what? I don't blame you, buddy. I am angry beyond belief too, Roger. I'm at a point right now where every day I get up and I go, can we wake up? The stupid people in this society, yes, that are just taking this hook, line, and sinker and bending over for the government. Are we going to be able to turn this around? I ask myself that question every day, Roger, because there's so much information out there right now. If a general public takes a look and they just spend a couple hours on the internet and they go listen to something like, the Great Barrington Declaration, or go listen to some of these top-notch neurologists and doctors around the world screaming at the top of their lungs to avoid this at all costs, that this is absolute genocide, that what we're doing is we're killing ourselves, we're killing our children, giving this to 12-year-old children. I mean, that's just beyond insanity. When all the numbers I've looked at, Roger, and I've studied the numbers here across the board, I've looked at everything I can get my hands on, and every number I look at tells me that this has got zero, zero, zero effect on children, and yet we're sticking this poison into them. Where are the parents, Roger?
If you tell me that you pulled a vaccine because it killed 53 people. But we've got a vaccine now that's killed, an estimation, at least hundreds of thousands, if not in the low end, millions of people globally. If you tell me that, then you explain to me why Americans are being forced to take it. And when you say, well, they're not being forced, yes, they are. You want to continue your job? Okay, if you've been here 29 and a half years and you've got 6 months to go before you retire, you're going to take that damn thing because you're not going to give up an entire 30-year pension because you didn't take a vaccine. The coercion we are seeing, the fear we are seeing generated is for a very good reason. And this should make some people smile, although it's not a happy thing. It should make some people smile. Right now, the U.S. government and everything they own and control is pushing this vaccine like madmen and madwomen. Absolutely. That's all you hear about. You got to have the vaccine. You got to have the vaccine. There's a very good reason for that. It's because more people have been maimed or have died from this vaccine than any component from pharmaceutical companies in the history of humanity. And people are starting to wake up to this. They definitely are. And big pharma and governments and the elitists are starting to wake up to the fact that people are waking up in vast numbers. What you're seeing right now, Barry, what you're talking about is an acceleration of trying to force or coerce everybody who can take this vaccine into taking it before everybody says, we've had enough. This is bullcrap. Don't even try and get us to do this anymore. The vaccines are going to die off before the first of the year. There will be very few people taking them, and those that are taking them will be taking them, like I said, because they're 6 months away from retirement or whatever, whatever. Anybody else who has another path they can take for their future won't have anything to do with them. Right now, there are already scientists stating that more and more people are becoming crippled for life and dying as a result of the vaccines as time goes along. How long have they been given these vaccines? Over a year. How long is it supposed to be before it really starts to hit people? They're saying anywhere from 1 to 2 years, all the way up to 10 years. We're already seeing people dropping dead. We're seeing teenagers with heart conditions when they'd never had a sick day in their life. We're seeing teenagers die. And now they're saying that in the UK, listen to me, in the United Kingdom, when your child goes to school, they now have claimed the right to vaccinate your child without ever telling you or asking your permission. Now, let me ask you a question. You've all heard what I've been saying about the vaccines. You've all heard the death toll. You've all heard the crippled for life toll. This is all fact. It's not a joke. You can find this out, and I'm going to tell you where you can find it out because that's where we're going next. You've got all of these numbers, and you can find these numbers out, right? You can. So your kid comes home from school, and he's looking or she's looking a little lethargic. So you send this kid to bed early because you figure he's probably or she's probably coming down with a cold or something. And you go in to wake him up from school in the morning, and that child's no longer alive. And what you find out after the fact, because you knew nothing about it, was that your child was in her or his classroom, in walked a medical team. All of the children were told to line up in front of the blackboard, and they were issued vaccinations. No parental consent, no parental understanding, nothing. No informed consent. Now, if you think that all of the children in the UK, we're talking millions, can all be vaccinated and none of them are going to be dying or crippled for life, how many parents do you think are going to put up with this and for how long? The amount of evil we can talk about today precludes us from even finishing this in 10 hours, never mind two. Yep. But you asked a question. You asked a question, where can people go to find out about this? Because you can't find out about it on Facebook. They'll shut you down. Can't find out about it on Instagram, which is supposed to be free speech, but still, there's only so much you can say. Twitter, shut you down. So where do you go to find out the truth? Because it's just like not knowing what your rights are. How can you defend a right you don't know about or you don't understand? It's the same with this. How do you defend against this if you haven't got a clue? And you don't. And what we are looking at right now is all of these parents who are going to be going, why? If we don't have a place where we can go and not only talk about this, but teach people about it. If there is no safe haven for us to discuss reality, then we're in a whole lot of trouble. But today there are some places, and one of them I'm very familiar with is TLB Talk, and that's TLBTalk.com. And what is that? That is a social media platform that was launched on the 4th of July. We're not going out and beating the drum trying to bring millions upon millions of people in because unlike President Trump or Mike Lindell, the pillow man, we don't have $10 million to throw into this platform. We built this out of our pockets and it will stand up to just about anything else out there. But what we promise is as long as you can do it legally. Because as soon as you start to do illegal things, they will shut us down so fast our heads will spin. If you can talk legally, in other words, don't step out of line, there is nothing you cannot discuss on TLB Talk. If you go in there, you find out the facts about the vaccines. If you go in there, you find out exactly what's going on in the background in Afghanistan. If you go in there, you find out about the treason being committed due to Bubba Joe's, I don't know, sympathetic or I should say ownership by China of Joe's soul. Absolute fact due to his son. So on and so forth. You would find out these things if you went into TLB Talk. You go into Facebook, you try and talk about that. Oh, my God, you got a 1 week vacation. And then you come back and you want to talk about it again. Oh, my God, you got a 30-day vacation. And if you don't think that that's not happening across the board when it comes to social media, when it comes to big tech, it is. What people will tell you is just stay away from social media because there's a bunch of rookies on there and they don't know what they're talking about. If you want to know what's going on, listen to the mainstream media. Are you kidding me?
Well, they just struck me. They just struck me for another 30 days, Roger, for absolutely nothing. You know what they did? They went back a year and a half on my post and found five things that violated their community standards over the last, going back to 2019. And they send me a message, Barry, you're struck for another 30 days. Well, this is the most important time for me to be on there, Roger, because we have an election coming up and they've completely silenced me. I can't do nothing. So I'm doing a lot of stuff. I'm starting to do a lot of stuff over at Telegram. I'm starting to post over there and a few other medias. I've just about had it with Facebook, but unfortunately right now.
Need to get on Talk.
TLB Talks. I am over there now, Roger.
Good. I can tell you on TLB Talk, you're going to have more latitude to say the things that need to be said than any of the forums you even mentioned now. Why do I say that? Why do I say that? Okay. Because there's, you've got Telegram, you've got Instagram. These are people who told you that these forums were set up for the patriots, for we the people, so that we could tell the truth. Except when you go on there, what you find out is the truth has limits. It absolutely does. And why is that? There are very few, hardly any. And if you're talking about the big names like Telegram and Instagram and Twitter and whatever, these forums have corporate investors. They all do. Especially if they crank this thing up with $5 million in the bank and they built this platform. You don't do that unless you got somebody giving you a whole lot of money. Mm. Want me to give you the instance here? TLB Talk cost us out of pocket, I know because I paid most of it, $35,000. Not $5 million, not $10 million, but I dare you to go there and go anyplace else and look at it. What was the difference? The difference is we took software that was already built, the basic engine, and we modified that to what you see today. This is ours. This is totally 100% built, listen to me, and growing the people who are in it. This is 100% membership funded. We ask for a $5 donation coming in the door. We ask. You don't have to do it, but we ask. Okay? Once you're in, if you like things, we ask you to do a $5 donation monthly. Okay? We get a million people in there and everybody's donating $5 a month, or even half of them are. We have the ability to turn this into the best platform on the planet. Why? Because it actually belongs to the people. There is zero corporate dollars in there. We have no masters. Listen to me. I'm going to say that again. We have no masters. When somebody comes up to you and says, here's $1 million, build a social media platform, let's make this work, let's give people a voice. And the last thing they say is, and once you've got it up and running, I'll tell you what it's going to cost you. It doesn't happen with talk. It does not happen with TLV talk. Every single penny, what built it, what's growing it, what allows us to promote it, comes from the individuals who walk in the door. They see it, they appreciate it, they like it. They not only like it, but they want to see it grow and get better. So they not only throw $5 in. We had one lady throw $400 in on her way in. $400. Okay? I'm not asking anybody to do that. Kick $5 in the bucket. And if you are so inclined and you want to see this grow and you want to see it expand, check the little box that says make that a monthly donation. What's $5 going to do for you, Roger? That's kind of dumb. Is it really? When you've got 10,000 people in there, if only 5,000 of them, half of them, are doing a $5 a month donation, okay, that's 5,000 people at $5. That's $25,000 a month. That's $300,000 a year. Do you know what we can do with that? We can blow the rest of them away. If we can put together one of the best operating and looking social media platforms on the planet for $35,000, less than 35, not 5 to 10 million, imagine what we could do with $300,000 a year coming into this project. This is the difference. It is of, by, and for the people. That's not a joke. That's an absolute fact. And anybody else who tells you that, if they've got $1 of corporate money, they're a liar.
Well, we better really start taking a really good look at this, Roger. I have been over to the site, and I've done a couple things over there, but I'm going to try and spend a little bit more time over there, buddy, to be quite honest. Well, yeah, they're going to have us pretty quick. They're going to have us locked down here in Canada. People don't think that's coming down the tubes here in the next little while, especially in British Columbia here, Roger. They have gone full-blown communism. Of course, now they've got the vaccine mandates and the vaccine passports. Well, you know, Roger, that vaccine passport is just one predecessor to the RFID chip being accepted widely in society. And of course, they're going to sell it as the new popular thing to do. Like, now we got vaccine passports in place. Instead of carrying that passport, all you have to do is go get this little chip put into your wrist. And everywhere you go, all you got to do is wave your hand and you're free to go, and you can do and come and do and buy this and buy that, and no restrictions. I can see that coming down the tubes here very, very quickly, because they are going to crash the dollar here, Roger. I believe that also is coming down the tubes very quickly. What do you think? Then I got another question for you after that.
It's not only the dollar they're going to crash. What they are going to do, and this is what the global reset, the Great Reset, is all about. The Great Reset is to take the sovereignty of nations away and have a centralized power. And more than likely, not more than likely, it would pretty much have to be a communist type government, global governance. This is what we're looking at, okay? And what you're going to end up with is regional, something like states. Okay, whereas Mexico, the United States and Canada might end up by being, you know, one, okay, and all of South America, another one, and so on and so forth. But what we're looking at is the destruction of sovereignty, and the easiest way and the quickest way to destroy sovereignty is to make a nation poor. It's to crash their monetary system. What we are looking at right now, what has been going on since 2008, and anybody who doesn't think this didn't start in 2008, the world almost collapsed due to a total monetary global reset. What happened was the elites looked around them and they said, we ain't ready for this. We ain't ready for this. It's going to be at least another decade before we're going to be ready to do this. So the elites went out and used the federal banks, especially the one in the United States. The one in the United States, it is estimated somewhere between $20 and $33 trillion was printed up and spread around the planet between 2008 and 2010 to keep governments and major corporations from folding. Why? Because they weren't ready yet. When were they ready? Hello? Wake up. Here we are. So what you're looking at right now is a continuation of something that they saw and they knew could be extremely useful well over a decade ago. Not a joke, an absolute fact. The only problem was it was premature at the time. We are not looking at a pandemic. I'm going to explain something to you and anybody out there. I don't know how you would call in or whatever, send a message to me or Barry. But anybody out there that can prove to me, and you can't, that can prove to me that SARS-CoV-2 or COVID-19 has been isolated by any government, there are a group of doctors and researchers out there that have literally gone to, I think, over 100 different agencies and governments asking them for to present any proof they had. Images, spectrometers, whatever, that showing that SARS-CoV-2 or COVID-19 actually exists. Any pictures, anything proving unequivocally that this thing exists. And that also happened in Canada. And guess what? Not one of them could provide any proof. Let's think about this. We have the entire globe in a frenzy. We're destroying lives. We're destroying economies. We're destroying nations. Okay? But we can't even prove that this thing exists. Why did you have to run a scenario, Event 201, in 2019? Why did you have to work your butt off for about the last 8 years putting together what today we call mRNA gene therapies, and everybody else calls vaccines? Listen to me. All of this is choreographed. So if all of a sudden everybody starts to wake up about your evil vaccine and you don't believe you've got quite enough people vaccinated yet, then you step up the tyranny. You tell corporations, if you still want to be around after all of this goes down, this is what you're going to do. You tell government officials, if you still want a job after all of this goes through, this is what you're going to do. What we have right now is an elitist caste and governments, including the Canadian and the American government, in a full-fledged panic. They know they need to get as many people vaccinated in as short a time as possible. Why? Because people at an absolutely astounding rate are waking up, because them and their families and their friends are in dire straits if we continue on without doing our own research. We are looking at humanity waking up, and the elites are in a freaking panic. They need to force vaccinate as much as the population as possible before, and this is going to happen sooner than you think, before people just say, don't even come near me with that, or you're going to lose your life.
You know, Roger, a good percentage of the people I'm now talking to, I can honestly say they're telling me the same thing, that they're starting to hear enough negative about this that they're not going to take this. Yep. But unfortunately, there's still those people that are. It's a real divide in society. Of course, that's all by design. But I'll tell you a little story about a lady here in Kitimat that is very, very well known, has thousands of friends in this area, got her second Pfizer vaccine here and developed a blood clot in her brain the size of a golf ball. They sent her down to Vancouver, had emergency surgery. She survived. But the size of the clot that came in her brain was literally the size of a golf ball. This was 6 days after the second Pfizer vaccine. Well, that lady now is talking to 10 people, and they're talking to 10 people, and they're talking to 10 people. And it's going like wildfire around our society that people are actually starting to sit down and go, hey, you know, this is insanity. You look at the CDC website, Roger, and they tell us right now that since they started vaccinating children under the age of 18, we've lost 300 children. And I've tried to verify it, and that apparently is the number of children that have actually died from taking this vaccine. Roger,
it's
that's
actually
what
more than that.
It's more than that, but that's what the number that CDC is reporting. Well, that should be enough
10%.
To just shock. But that number alone, Roger, should just shock people right to the core.
They've pulled vaccines for 53 deaths.
And now we got 300 children dead.
You're talking about the CDC admitting that at least 300 have died. Children! 300 children have died. Where's anybody talking about pulling these vaccines? Can anybody tell me? It's like they told the world that, guess what? Pfizer's vaccine is now approved. That's a lie.
Well,
there is a brand new vaccine from Pfizer that is approved. Don't ask me how it got approved, because it's not the vaccine that Pfizer is giving to everybody else. It's not. It's called camaraderie or something like that. Okay, I don't know the exact
name. That.
That is the vaccine that was given the tentative approval. That is what the CDC is stating. Okay, now that it's approved, it can be mandated. The thing of it is, that vaccine hasn't even made it out to the public yet. There's not enough of that vaccine to even bring it to the public and start giving vaccinations. So what is Pfizer doing? Listen to me, people, because I'm going to tell you what you need to do to save your butt, okay? When you go in, if it's a Pfizer vaccine, you need to ask. Then you need to look. You need to tell them, I need to look at the vial. If the vial doesn't say, and again, it's camaraderie or something like that, okay? If that is not what the vial says, if it just says that it is a Pfizer mRNA vaccine, that is still under emergency authorized use only. Only this new vaccine, which they don't even have on the market, it's not even out to the people yet, is approved. But Pfizer's going to make you believe, just like your employer is going to make you believe, just like the local government you work for is going to make you believe, Pfizer's vaccines were approved, so you got to go take it. No, they weren't. And the one that was approved, guess what? They don't have enough of it to even put it on the streets. So when you get a Pfizer vaccine, you're going to be getting the one that's killing people. You're going to be getting the one that's making people literally crippled for life. You're not going to be getting the one that the FDA or the CDC approved, unless you read that vial. And I'm going to tell you right now, they've already admitted they don't have enough to spread out to start vaccinating the population at this point. So when you walk in, and your doctor tells you, or you walk into your employer and there's a doctor, you know, the corporate doctor is standing there with a needle in his hand, and your employer says, this is approved now, so you need to take it. You need to insist that you look at that vial. And if it's the standard Pfizer vaccine they've been using all along, you can flip him the bird and walk out. Because what he just tried to do is to coerce you into taking something that is not approved. But this is already happening. This is a way Pfizer figures they can get rid of a lot more of their genocidal vaccine rather than the new vaccine, which is probably not as deadly. Now, I'm going to tell you something else about the new vaccine that most people don't know. And this is going to cause Pfizer a lot of heartaches, but they have to do it. Once a vaccine is approved, when it's under emergency authorized status, okay, there are things they don't have to do because it's emergency use. Once it gets approved by the FDA, they need to submit – listen to me now.
Yeah, this is good.
of all of the ingredients and the percentage of the vaccine that ingredient is. Not only that, but they also have to submit a list of all known issues with the vaccine, okay? They have to list how many people have died, how many people have been crippled, how many people, so on and so forth. So if this new vaccine is based on the old one, which it probably is. If it's based on the old one and they've got to do that, you know damn right well they're going to be lying. Because if they told the truth, the FDA would be required by law to pull that certification faster than you could hit.
Yeah, you just take the words out of my mouth, Roger. You don't give me anything to talk about because I've been following that story. 14
days from the day of authorization, and that was 3 days ago, so they've got 11 days left to provide all of this information.
This could be a nail in their coffin, Roger. People, when they first heard about this being approved, they went, this is a loss. This is crazy. But it's not. It's going to be a win. And you explain why right now. You just explained why to people why this is going to be a win, because they actually have to list the ingredients, which they didn't have to do under the emergency use authorization. Right. Go ahead, buddy, because this is huge what this is going to do.
Again, Let's connect a few more dots. As far as the vaccines go, I could take the whole show, and I don't want to do that, just talking about the vaccines. But let's back off just a little bit. Let's talk about what's going on in Afghanistan. Okay? Let's talk about the fact that if Hillary would have won instead of Trump, that the Middle East would have been a whole different story. It would have been. Trump was the biggest disrupting factor in the elitist plans, the global elitist plans for a one world government and for a thinning down of the population. Had Hillary been in office, this probably would have happened, I don't know, halfway through her terms, because you know they would have cheated to give her two full terms. Okay, this would be done. At this point, you could probably imagine that a big chunk of humanity would already have dropped. What the elitists didn't count on was Trump getting in there. What you also need to understand is that a globe cannot be taken down by a virus alone. There needs to be chaos. There needs to be chaos of such a level that governments or those who are pretending to or have instilled themselves as governments, reset, global reset, those who have instilled themselves as global governance step in, stick their hand out and say, look, you're really hurting. I'm going to help you. You're going to have a comfortable life. This is all you've got to do going forward. And you damn right well better do it. This is what we're looking at. Okay. We're looking at a group of individuals who realize that people are waking up to what's going on. So what are they doing? They're making sure that they can get as many people vaccinated with this vaccine prior to people saying no. Again, in the UK, all children in school can now be vaccinated without the knowledge or consent of their parents. Why the hell would you ever want to do that with children? With a vaccine that has this many deaths and this many permanent lifetime injuries, why would you even want to do this to a child who has a 99.987% chance of dying, of surviving COVID? Listen to me, okay? That is such a small, insignificant number. It's crazy. But yet, you're going to force this child to take a vaccination that stands a much higher chance of damaging them or killing them than the disease did. Are you listening to what I just said? This is what's going on in the UK. The ability of this disease to kill children is almost non-existent. The ability of this vaccine to kill children, they already told you 300 died. You want to bet it's closer to 3,000? That wouldn't happen. Children are not susceptible to flus and viruses like adults are. But yet, we're going to force vaccinate the portion of the population that's going to grow up to take over humanity. What happens if we need, say, 3 to 5 billion children in order to maintain humanity? What happens if all of a sudden the world only has 500 million to a billion children? What happens to society? What happens to humanity? Where does the population growth go? First off, there is no more population growth. Second off, what you will see is the population of the planet drop by anywhere from 60 to 80% in less than two generations. It could be one generation, 20 years. They expect This is what I was told, and I cannot prove this, but I will say it. They expect within the first 3 to 4 years to see as much as 25 to 50% of the population either maimed for life or dead.
I don't even know what to say anymore about this, Roger. It's like we're living in a horror show, but it's a horror show that we're living in. And boy, do we really need to roll up our sleeves right now and reach out to our fellow human beings, Roger. You know, one thing I'll say about having these conversations with you over the years, buddy, I've gotten to see your true love for the human race and the work that you're doing and why you do it. And all I can say is thanks, brother, because we really need people like you right now sharing this information.
We need platforms like TLB Talk where people can go and get this information. And anybody who thinks that Talk is only there for you to share information, no. It's there for the other reason just as much. Not only is it a platform where you can come in and teach people things that they not only don't know, but if you wouldn't do it, they would never know because it's that clamped down. So TLB Talk gives you the ability to go in and impart knowledge on people who normally wouldn't have the ability to have that knowledge. What you do is you've just made their life a little bit more solid. You've just guaranteed they may be around for a few extra years or that their kids aren't going to die maliciously. What you've done is that, okay? This is exactly what TLB Talk is there for. We need to be able to tell you what's going on. It's not a matter of what you need to know only. It's a matter of if you know something and you know it to be true, or it comes from a hell of a source and it's something that affects a lot of people, they're not going to let you put that on Facebook, especially if it's about a vaccine or a politician that they're harboring. They're not going to let you put it out. So you go to Talk and you put this information out. It gives you not only ability to teach, but if you have enough people understanding that that platform gives them a voice, then you're going to have more and more people saying, I know a place where people who know stuff aren't afraid to go and talk. So I can not only go and teach, I can go and learn.
Roger, one thing I want to ask you too before we get out of this show here in a couple of minutes, since one thing, the question I had for you today is that what we're seeing with young people is a lot of reports of swelling around the heart. I was listening to a couple of doctors, and you know, I don't have the ability to retain the information in my brain that I've listened to this week, Roger, but it's shocking.
Yes.
Right, that's it. And before I let you get out of here in a few minutes, can you explain to people how that works in the young people, why they're seeing swelling around their hearts? It was explained to me in detail, but could you pull up on that for a minute for me?
I am not a doctor. What I do understand is that the spike protein, we were originally lied to. The spike protein was the – look, this all starts with this. And don't chuckle because it's an absolute fact. Nobody has ever isolated SARS-CoV-2. Nobody has ever isolated COVID-19. It doesn't exist as far as prove it to me. It doesn't exist as far as show it to me. So what did they build a vaccine on? They built a vaccine, believe it or not, on a computer-generated what if. That's what they did. That's what they did. They said, well, what if, and we got a little piece of this, and what if we got a little piece of that. So let's generate via a computer what this would look like and what it would do. And from that, they built a vaccine. So they never, ever had SARS-CoV-2 to build a vaccine around. Never, ever did. But at the same time, Barry, you're being told you need to take a vaccine that will protect you from SARS-CoV-2 or COVID-19, except we're being told now that it appears that the mRNA vaccines lessen the load on the body. In other words, you don't get as sick, your fever doesn't get as high, it lessens the symptoms of whatever virus they're calling SARS-CoV-2. It lessens it. It does not keep you from catching it from someone else. The vaccine doesn't. It does not keep you from giving it to someone else. So now you've got a vaccine you're being forced to take that does nothing but lessen. That's it. Lessen the effects of a fake virus on you.
Absolutely. I've read that.
It will never protect you. or anybody else around you.
I've read multiple reports about that, Roger. Singapore, 75% of the new reported cases of the variant that rose in Singapore.
Israel!
Was people, and yeah. But 75% of them are people that have had two shots, Roger.
Yep.
And same these reports things happening are coming
in
out.
Israel.
This is blowing,
same things
this,
happening
this is
in
blowing
the
this right out the door. I know. These reports yep. are coming in that the new cases are coming from people that have been fully vaccinated. Yet in Canada, what we're hearing from the mainstream is all the new cases are coming from people that haven't been vaccinated. They are lying, 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 and we've got to put a stop to this, buddy. Go ahead, Roger. Go ahead.
Let me ask you a question.
Okay? Sure. We got about 3 minutes, bud. Sorry. Yeah,
if all of this is working, okay, if all of these vaccines are supposedly working, all right, and I tell you to take a vaccine because it will protect you, and once you've done that, then you can live a normal life. And now I'm telling you that this deadly vaccine not only doesn't protect you, but it doesn't protect your loved ones because you can still give it to them. You can still get it. You can still give it to them. You just won't be quite as sick. I need to tell you something. What that appears to me, and this is my interpretation, nobody else's, what appears to me is happening here is that it was a lie. There never was a COVID-19. There never was a SARS-CoV-2. It never existed. But they got enough people panicked to take a vaccine that's giving them something.
Yep.
The pandemic is being caused by the shots, not any damn virus that escaped from bats in Wuhan, China.
The perfect bioweapon they have created, Roger, and it is going to unleash genocide on the human race. I'm totally convinced of that. I've loved the information that you've shared today with the audience, and I really hope that people really get involved at this particular point to put a stop to this madness, Roger, because it is really, really getting out of hand. We've got about a minute left that I can talk with you, my friend. Can you please share where people can find you? And again, thanks for coming in, Rogers. Always great having you in, and I enjoy my conversations with you immensely.
I would tell you right now, you go to the Liberty Beacon, which is our main website. You can find the other websites with a thing that's right up at the top, a banner. But I would tell you, if you need to find out good information and you need to discuss this with people who have the ability to give you good information, tlbtalk.com. You're not going to get it on Facebook. You're not going to get it on Twitter. You're not going to get it on Instagram, but you will get it on tlbtalk.com.
Cool. Roger, I got to thank you again for coming in today, bud. I had a list of things I was going to ask you today, and I even got to number 2 on the list. That usually happens when I get you on, because we get into a conversation and it just goes and goes and goes, because there's so much to talk about right now. I'm going to get you back probably in a couple of weeks if you'll oblige me, my friend, because there is a lot of things going on. And
you asked, I got to thank I'll you. I'll be here.
Okay, well, we'll get you in again in a couple of weeks, Roger. Thanks for coming in today, my friend. Much enjoyed that. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, folks, I'll be back in 3 minutes with Wayne Peters, and he is going to blow your mind with some of the things, the reports we've gotten to in the last 24 hours alone about the United Nations camps being set up in Canada. We are going to have video proof of that, and we're going to talk about a whole bunch of things here in the next hour. Hang around. It's going to be interesting.
Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so, and little ones to him belong. There's Jesus.
listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com. Seeking solutions.
Welcome back, second hour, folks, and thanks again, Roger, for coming in. I enjoyed that conversation immensely, and like I said, I'll get him back in a couple of weeks. The man never fails to me fails to amaze me at the levels of intelligence that he possesses. My second hour here, I've got a gentleman that I just really enjoy having conversations. We talk on a regular basis about what's going on here in Canada. Wayne is doing some really, really good stuff. With panels of doctors that he's brought forward, a lot of information come out of his site here in the last couple months, and I just got to applaud the guy for what he's doing. Wayne, welcome back, and I always like to start the show with the pet peeve of the week, so I'm going to start that right off with you. What is your pet peeve this week, my friend, and welcome back.
Well, thanks for having me back again. It's always always a pleasure to come on here because you're one of the guys that I actually get a chance to light up on a regular basis, and I love watching you tick. And I think we'll be able to kick it out of the can here right off the bat with my pet peeve of the week is this made-up term called vote splitting. This term is absolutely redundant. It is nothing more than a made-up intimidation term used by parties that don't have an actual policy to run on to save their damn lives and use it to bully and intimidate others away from voting from their conscience. That is my pet peeve of the week. What do you think of that?
It's exactly what we're seeing again in Canada, aren't we, Wayne? If people actually sat down and listened to the platforms of the parties, there would only be one choice right now in Canada. But the only way they can kick back against that is this term. Go ahead.
They are so entrenched in their same pattern and habits that they fail to realize the most obvious, glaring, blatant fact of all is that neither one of the Conservative or the Liberal parties actually craft their own policy anymore. The United Nations crafts 100% of their policy. Both parties signed on wholeheartedly to the UNSDA and the Compact, and this is where all of this pain and suffering, 100% of the pain and suffering that Canadians are experiencing are coming from these two policies, and it doesn't matter how many times they want to trade seats between these two laughable parties that absolutely offer zero representation of the actual people of Canada. They rather than tackle that subject, because they don't have the guts to do it, they use this term called vote splitting. And I've already had people throwing it into my face. Oh, didn't you learn anything from last year? Well, I'll tell you what, last year was a perfect example, the poster case of why this term is a joke, because all of the votes that Maxime got absolutely took nothing away from the Conservative Party. The Conservative Party still had more votes than Trudeau, and it didn't make a damn difference. And even if it had, we would be exactly where we are today if Andrew Scheer was the Prime Minister or if Trudeau was the Prime Minister. So I'm really sick of people that complain they want change, but they want to do the same old thing and use intimidation and fear porn and terrorism to force people to vote the way that they think they should.
Yeah, you know, all their lives they've gone left or right, liberals or conservatives. There's never been really any other voices in Canada, and people are so conditioned to doing that, they don't really look at what the Conservative Party is actually standing for right now, Wayne, and you're absolutely spot on in your assessment, because they are no different than the liberals. The only difference between the Conservatives and the liberals is the Conservatives have a little bit of lipstick on. But they're fully on board with all the agendas that are destroying our country right now. I am going to say right off the bat that right now in Canada, Wayne, and I know you'll add on this, that the only alternative we have right now is the People's Party of Canada, because their platform is standing against everything we see going wrong in our country right now. Like them or hate them, that is the only option we see right now at this particular point. Maybe in the future we can get some other parties involved, but right now we've got to put a stop to this madness. Go ahead.
Well, and here's the thing. I'm a journalist, and I'm looking at the reality of things, and I don't even I won't endorse a party. I won't tell people who to vote, but I will absolutely use every breath that I have to expose the fraud and the garbage and the corruption between the two. And in comparing exactly. notes, I mean, nobody's saying Maxime Bernier is a saint, but let's take a look at things realistically. Canadians complain and complain and complain. They want change. They want the people represented. So here we have a party that is first, let's look at the Liberal Party, 100% career politicians. The Conservative Party, 100% career politicians. The PPC Party, one career politician, and 329 candidates that are of We the People. So now people out there, these so-called conservatives, they call themselves conservatives, but they don't have the guts to be conservative. They want to be liberal-like type conservatives because, Trudeau bad, but they don't want to look at the party that they actually represent. So they want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, quite literally. They have a problem with Maxime Bernier. Okay, so what? You have one career politician and a party of the people. This is what you want to throw away in favor of an absolute certified, signed on board globalist. And the only thing that is running between the Liberal Party and the Conservative Party is who can check off the boxes fastest and first for the agreements that they are both signed on to. That is the race between the Conservatives and the Liberals. It's not as to which policy they're going to represent in Canadian interests. It's on who can check off the boxes for these policies, these non-binding policies that they're racing to tick the boxes off for. That's the race between the Conservatives and the Liberals. So there is no Conservative Party. It is just two attaboys, sycophants, sold out to the globalists and installing globalist policy. And the only party that can, even has the ability or the option to try to reverse this dissection and wholesale sell-off of Canada is the People's Party of Canada. So I don't even have to endorse them. They're the only Canadian party.
They are, Wayne, and we're starting to see people really starting to pay attention to what the party is saying. All I say to people, Wayne, is that you've got to go look at the platform of the party. And the fact, like you said, you've got one career politician and you've got a whole pile of people that are getting in this for one reason. They see Canada being destroyed. They see the direction and the platform of the party, and it resonates with all of them as a rule. We've got some incredible people in the party now, and I see a real shift in people's attention to that party right now. So right now, we kind of just got to put the pedal to the metal. I don't want to endorse anybody politically, but at this point, I don't see any other option for this country. Either with the Conservatives or Liberals get in, we'll just continue this slide downwards. It's not going to stop. Go ahead.
Well, it can't stop. And there's some things, little known facts that Canadians either don't know or they've forgotten about. There is no accountability for any sitting politician. Zero. There is no recourse to accountability for any sitting politician. This was put into ironclad status in 1992 with the Little Child versus the People case. Right. So the only way that we can affect change in Canada is to elect another party or another representative. So if your only two options are globalist or globalist, there is no Canadian party, there is no recourse, there is no ability to change. So why would we not replace, if that is our only option, is to replace them, then why would we not replace them with We the People and continue to banter back and forth between people that are sold out to the same checklist, right? So that case in 1992 removes all culpability from the politicians. So there is never, ever, ever, ever in a million years going to be a change that will happen or come under the Conservative Party or the Liberal Party of Canada. They can't. They're already locked in.
Right. They've got a ticket to the big party, and we don't, Wayne. And it ain't going to change until people make change. And we have to do this at this particular point, because another 4 years of a – if Trudeau was to manage a Liberal majority. If the Conservatives get a Liberal majority, the continuation will continue. It won't change in Canada. We'll just continue to see the same slide. So at this point, I don't see any other option, and I'll give them my support at this time because we really do need to put a stop to this. And now
we need to stop fighting amongst ourselves about that vote that's on the fence, where we spend a vast amount of energy arguing with Conservatives about whether they're conservative or PPC is conservative. And it's absolutely ridiculous, because here's the thing. Our last election was handed over with 11.7 million votes. Out of that, the Conservatives actually got a little more than half. So if you figure approximately 5 million Conservative votes out there, and we're squabbling and fighting over a few thousand or 100,000 votes, meanwhile, the entire time we are completely and utterly ignoring the 26 million people that have absolutely no inclination to vote, because the only option between the Conservatives and the Liberals is an absolute joke. Mm-hmm. So this is who I'm speaking to. I'm not going to have any more of these vote splitting debates with people, because they're not worth it. You cannot convince somebody that is too lazy that considers themselves invested in the political debate, but is too lazy to actually compare notes of the policy. You can't win with somebody like that. They are a sycophant. They are programmed. They are a part of the hive. And the sycophants run as deep on the Conservative side of the fence as they do on the Liberal side of the fence. So I'm going to be spending my time talking to the 26 million that have the power to create change in Canada resides in those 26 million people. And if we look at traditionally across Canada, and this is what these Conservatives that want to try vote splitting need to pay attention to. Historically, this is, you know, we don't even have to go that far back. Anytime a party has absolutely decimated themselves through corruption, they have been basically obliterated in the next election. Kenny in Alberta and then NDPs disappeared in BC, the 1 year they lost party status. In Ontario, the NDP got decimated and Ford won in a landslide. Why on earth do people think that it's impossible for Canadians to create the same thing on a national scale and wipe out the Conservative and the Liberal Party? We have more than enough people that will not support either of those, so why don't we speak to them?
That would be a good day in Canada, wouldn't it, Wayne? Because going the way we are, it's just going to continue to slide, man. What's going on right now in this country? It's almost like I'm living in a horror show. It really is. The attack on our civil liberties are right off the scales. People are all accepting this under the guise of protecting themselves from something, like Roger said in the last hour, is yet to be proven that it really exists. I mean, I've looked at a lot of reports about this, and I'm actually trying to get right to the bottom of this. But as far as I know and understand, Wayne, it has not been isolated anywhere in the world. Do you want to add to that for a minute? Because you've had a lot of doctors on here in the last couple months on your shows, which I applaud you for. But I'm sure they have spoken on that issue. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, absolutely. And that's one of the things that I'm incredibly grateful for and blessed for. I don't think that there is anybody in Canada who has done such a comprehensive, in-depth, search into the actual truth and facts behind all of this. We've been so fortunate. I think we're something 18 or 19 episodes of interviews through the Doctor Talk series, and these aren't just your innocuous unknown doctors. These are some of the elite medical practitioners and scientists in the world. And the thing that they have to take into account now, there's different things, but at the end of the day, no matter what we want to call it, there is still something that is killing people. Right. So this is from a doctor's perspective. This is how they have to look at it. Something is killing my patient. They really are focused on that more so than who did it. Right. So they're, in order for them to remain credible, they can only look at the evidence that's provided to them. So these doctors are handcuffed. They are not receiving samples from labs. They are not receiving these experiment samples. They're not being allowed they're not getting the resources that they need to actually debunk this. And this is interference at the at the most elite levels, making sure that they cannot address these subjects accurately. And it's suicide for any scientist to go out and speak to hypothesis or theory, right? So this is where we have taken a really hard look, and what we have been able to do then is to expose the fraud of the treatment scam. All of this that is happening is coming under the guise of emergency authorization because there is, quote unquote, no viable treatments. So we have exposed till the cows come home that there is all kinds of successful treatments, which then indicates that our government is complicit in willful homicide. This is where they cannot specifically address whether in by definition does this, as we call it, the words that we use, the labels we use, that's not their debate. That's lawyers to debate, not doctors. Doctors are, this is something that is killing my people. How do we stop this? All right, so this is something that we have to understand in our fighting and pushback on this, because unfortunately for us, we're not all skilled in the verbiage to have an accurate discussion with a lawyer or a doctor or a Supreme Court justice. So we tend to not use the accurate language, and this creates us so much grief. Yep. In the public sphere, because we're not using the right terminology. We don't and how can we expect people, the average John Q. public, to be educated to a level of actually articulating these things? So it's there's a lot of different fights in on all of this. So what we've been focusing on with this and trying to do this also in a way that doesn't get us completely removed from every media platform on the planet. And I've kind of failed at that part. They've pretty much smashed me everywhere now. But at the end of the day, I'm grateful for the fact, and I am stubborn enough that I am not going to stop giving these doctors an opportunity to air their expertise, to clear the noise and provide people with information at every level from every discipline and angle that they can use to push back on all of these crimes that are being committed against us. So we had to at first establish where the crimes were, right? And albeit lab fraud, a patent fraud, all of those things, what these doctors can address is the treatment fraud,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's what there's probably 20 plus hours of testimony on there. And a lot of what you'll hear in that Doctor Talk series is exactly what you will hear from these very same doctors, these same faces, giving that same testimony to Reiner Fulmick and the Nuremberg courts. These are the people that are actually fighting for us, and our government is hell-bent on making sure that I don't get to share that message, that knowledge, that information with the Canadian people.
Mm. The Nuremberg courts, can we talk about that for a minute? Can you explain that to people, what's going on, Wayne, with that? Because a lot of people haven't heard about that. Go ahead.
There's more to it than just two words called the Nuremberg Code. The Nuremberg Initiative was born out of World War II, where some very simple things like informed consent were established, and unauthorized experimentation on unsuspecting populations was given extreme prejudice as far as for crimes against humanity. A lot of this stemmed from the Nuremberg Code, which was a military tribunal that was put together and held in, I believe, 1947 in Germany or in Nuremberg. Yep. And it was comprised of military commands from all of the allied nations, and I'm not even sure who all else, that agreed on this set of rules to make sure that this would never happen again in our society. And this is kind of where we're at here now. But unfortunately, those Nuremberg codes were written in a time where we had one country that was practicing the most heinous evil known to man. Now right. we've got dozens and dozens of countries doing it. So these guys have really, really got a mountain to climb in this. But the good news is there are more than 1,000 lawyers that are working on this. There are countries that are moving forward with crimes against humanity in this current scamdemic. There is a case in India. There is a case in the UK. I believe there's one in South America that is about to launch as well. So the fight and the movement or the move to direct to get to the point of justice is underway. Okay. And the entire globalist operation is hell-bent on keeping us silent about this stuff. But at the same time, they do fear this Nuremberg Commission because some of the people that are on there have taken down globalist corporations already, particularly Mr. Reiner Fulmich, who was the guy that took down BMW for – or pardon – yeah, BMW, wasn't it, for the emissions frauds. And he was the one that took down Bayer and Monsanto. So this guy is used to – or pardon me, that was Volkswagen that he took down, not BMW, Volkswagen. But so these guys are in it for the big fight, and they know how to fight these fights. So I'm really, really excited by what is going to come, because at the end of the day, this insanity is unsustainable here in Canada, the same as anywhere else. And the only option that they have left is violence and force. And that's not going to work so well, because the one thing that Trudeau and the Conservatives failed to do on their globalist checklist was to get us disarmed. So they still have this fear of us in Canada. But now, yeah. Unfortunately, this has escaped away from them at a speed that they could not control because of the resistance of free men and women around the world, that they have had to really ratchet up their agenda, their speed, their pace of what they were yep. doing. So now we are at the show me your papers phase, and they still haven't got us disarmed. So this provides an extreme complication for the globalists at this point. And I think that is the final straw for the Canadians, is this show me your papers. It doesn't matter what side of the political fence you're on, you understand what that means and where that takes people.
Yeah, we're in 1938 Germany right now, Wayne, and heading for 1939, and people are starting to see that. And of course, disarmament is the biggest push, and the reason, of course, they want our guns is so that we can't fight back. Look what's going on in Australia right now, Wayne. Australia was completely disarmed by their government, and look what's going on in that country right now. Look what's going on in New Zealand and Ireland. They're dragging people out of the house and actually coming into your house and force vaccinating you. And look what they're doing to our children now, Wayne. They want to bring in this so-called vaccine suitable for children under 11 years of age. That's the latest proposal. This is insanity, my friend. We talked about this in the last hour, me and Roger, about the amount of people, the children have actually been reported that have died from taking this vaccine so far. And it's 300 people, and that's what the CDC is reporting to us. And that number is vastly underreported. You don't think that would be enough to get people screaming at the top of their lungs that it's got to come to a stop? Now the government's talking about giving it to 11-year-old children. You know what? Now in England, apparently, Wayne, they can take your kid's school and give them this shot without the parents' permission. And Roger brought that to my attention the last hour. And then what? The child goes home and he dies? Well, if that was me and my child was given this vaccine without my permission and my child came home and died, I'd be looking for one of these individuals with a gun the next day. Would not you?
You're That's where they're going. You're describing my biggest fear. Honestly, Barry, because I've been aware for quite some time that this has absolutely nothing to do with medicine or science or health or helping our people. This is straight up genocide. It's the only accurate word. And it is not even by the innocent or the idiots. This is willful and intentional. And they're all in on it. And by that, I mean all parties. All major parties, the Conservatives, if they're signed on and to these agreements, they are a party to this. Yeah. Everybody, that there is no excuse for ignorance at this point. The last time a vaccine rollout happened in North America at 26 deaths, they pulled the plug on it. Now we have hundreds. We have thousands in the States. They have hundreds of thousands. And all they are doing is doubling down here in Canada. You spoke about them having the right, them taking kids away. Well, they're writing those rules and laws as we speak. They are setting that in place.
Yep.
And they're doing that here in Canada already. Anything that we see happening in Australia and the UK and Ireland and New Zealand, we can absolutely be guaranteed with 1,000% certainty that that is being played out here as well. The only thing is whether it has gotten here or not yet. We are a little harder to manage like those places are because we are so spread apart in Canada. And this is kind of working for us in that regard. It is harder to lock us down in that, in this, and we have pushed against the lockdowns and all of these measures in some provinces and exposed things to a level that they can't do what they want to do as quickly as they'd like to do, and they are dropping the ball. And this is over. They just don't know it yet. We are seeing the last desperate, violent gasp of pure evil. That is what we are seeing right now. And all we've got to do, literally, is hold the line on our values. Do not succumb to pressure of any way, shape, or form. And push back. And literally, we could wipe out the globalists in this next election if we were to have the right person saying the right thing. And that's really simple at this point. End globalism, end show me your papers, end coffeeism, and we can wipe out the globalist parties in Canada. And this is all over. All over. Yep. Every bit of pain and suffering, all of the stealing from Canadians, the $40 million an hour that they're pillaging from Canadians into this PR and marketing garbage, the $2.6 billion they're giving to the mainstream media, the hundreds of – the trillions of dollars that they are giving to the United Nations so that the United Nations could pay their interest on the cryptocurrency, the new currency system that they are trying to force us into but is imploding, and they cannot keep up to their interest payments on that. So right now, we are really what the whole world is facing is a giant insurance fraud in the hundreds of trillions.
Yeah, it's not going in a good direction at all. It's like, man, oh man, can we just go back to rotary phones, man? I mean, it's just like it really is. It's overwhelming the amount of information that comes forward every day that I'm trying to comprehend here, Wayne. It really is. I'm trying to keep up with it, my friend, but I have a very small brain. It really is overwhelming. I'm getting 50, 60. You're getting a lot more than I am, but I'm getting 50 or 60 links every day from people that are sending me information that's just blowing my mind. I mean, we were talking last night about the United Nations camps that are in Canada now and the fact that we're getting hardcore proof of the existence of these camps. Well, that should be making a lot of people ask a lot of questions. Why don't we talk about that for a few minutes? Because that is going on in our country right now, Wayne.
Well, it's really tough to put a finger on it, though, because our government is probably the least transparent government in the entire known Western civilized world. And we have had for decades and decades training agreements with different United Nations nations within the United Nations and as a whole. But so there's always been a UN presence in Canada, whether for training or even just I'm pretty sure that some of our manufacturing builds a lot of the equipment for them and things like that. But what we're seeing is now that what you're speaking to is a different thing.
And exactly.
It's very unnerving when our own military is basically been neutered. They have just publicly gone against the federal government. And it's for a number of months now, we've seen our top tiers of our military being purged, literally being purged. Anybody that would stand for their troops or stand for right or wrong, that gets purged. And the military has an easy way of doing that. The instant you don't follow a direct order, you're done because you are a property of the guy above you that is giving you that order. So we're seeing a disconnect between our own military and foreign controlled influences. And that is being absolutely manufactured and structured and created by our federal government. For example, most Canadians probably don't realize that Canada has no involvement in our border security anymore. That's all been third-party contracted out to, I do believe, a Chinese corporation security firm.
Isn't that great, eh?
Right?
nothing like the fox watching the hen house. Go ahead.
Exactly. So we basically got our own Canadian military that's been told to go and sit in the corner if you don't want to do what you're told. And unending contracts and checklists of transitioning our country over to a post-nation state of the United Nations. So at some point, Canadians had better head start expecting a buildup of foreign assets and troops and equipment in Canada, or a takeover of our own troops and equipment and bases in Canada. So this is inevitable if we don't stop this. And that isn't the only place. It's just been brought to my attention that even some other so-called abandoned bases are now highly active and full of parking lots full of brand new equipment and gear. This should be disturbing. We don't know what our government is doing, but we do know that 100% of what our government is doing is anti-Canadian.
Yep, absolutely. And all being condoned and covered by our government. We know that there's factions that are forming in Canada right now. We know that a lot of our immigration, I would say a great majority of our immigration, are military-aged men. And they're all coming from one geographic, it seems like, in one part of the world. To think that these people aren't going to turn on Canadians when the word is given in the near future, I think you'd have to have your head in the sand. What do you think?
I think that I think it's absolutely disgusting what is going on right now. I liken it to – I've actually been calling it Trudeau's Benghazi. He is literally airlifting migrants out of there, what he is calling refugees out of there, and abandoning our allies. So he's leaving the people that helped our Canadian boys survive over there. He's leaving them for the slaughter while he's bringing over quote-unquote refugees. You look at the photographs, the odd one that you do get to see about these plane loads of people that are being flown out of there. Those aren't refugees. There's no women. There's no kids. Or there's very few. The odd picture that the mainstream media is putting out, obviously, nothing but women and kids. But they're not showing you the ones where there's, it's standing room only, and it is only fighting age men. Are those really the refugees that we are bringing 40,000 of them into Canada? Really?
What do you think? Well, yeah, Wayne, we know exactly what's going on. And this prime minister at this point, I can't say what I want to say about him right now, but he is committing treason on the Canadian people at a scale unheard of in our history. This is an invasion. These guys are coming in here and they're going to cut our heads off. And I don't like to say that, but I honestly believe that's what's coming if we allow this to continue, that these are all military age gentlemen coming into Canada. Like you said, they're not refugees. And this is what the government's bringing into Canada. What they're doing in Afghanistan right now is a travesty. But then you just got to look at what Joe Biden is doing in Afghanistan right now. It's just unbelievable what's going on. Unbelievable.
Well, Joe Biden just armed an entire war front with what they've done. But
$80 billion.
Here's the point I'd like to make. Knowing and proving are two different things. I know massive amounts about crimes committed and treason and all of these things. But the one thing that Canadians need to understand is that the worst criminals, the worst traitors, the people most responsible for the most death, destruction, and mayhem wear fancy suits and call themselves politicians, and they all signed on to the UNSDA and the Migration Compact. Mm-hmm. Those are the that signing that paper, any politician that signed those papers is guilty of treason. The only reason they're getting away with this is because we are a de facto nation and they get to make the rules. Pirates don't ask.
Hmm. Well, we've got to turn it around, Wayne, because you know and I know if this goes on very much longer, the window of opportunity might close and we'll be in a situation that I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. So I'm fighting every day and I know you're fighting every day. The doctor series that you did, where can people actually listen to that series? Is there somewhere they can go to get the shows that you did, Wayne, and listen to them?
The only place that they have not been removed from the World Wide Web yet is they are all still up and available on Rumble under the What's Up Canada channel there. And my website at whatsupcanada.org. We're in the middle of transitioning into a secure format in a far-off foreign land where our alphabet agencies can't touch it. But that's the last stand for us as far as for being able to get the word and the message out. But the other side of that is we're not alone, right? And you know that, I mean, I know the audience doesn't know, but we've been working on some other things that aren't happening in social media. And we are bringing together like minds and resources and assets and abilities and talent and skill sets to make sure that people are going, the message at least will get out. Whether people will be able to find it, whether they're interested in it, that's up to them. But we are fighting so hard and we are organizing in such ways that I've never seen before. And I'm so encouraged by some of these Doctor Talk series until we got shut down and wiped out again. We were able to live stream them across 20 some different platforms. We're trying really hard to create a national broadcasting network that can counter this monstrous machine. But I mean, we're up against a $3 billion machine in Canada, and we're doing it on peanuts, right? So, you know, I mean, heart will take us where we're at, but this is unfortunately, we are not on an even playing field, and we are absolutely fighting uphill, outgunned, outnumbered, outmanned, no reinforcements, no supply, but we are fighting uphill anyway.
I'm going to have to, you know what, Wayne, I'm going to have to hook you up with Roger Landry there, and we're going to have to sit down and have a talk with him about TLB Talks, because what he's doing with that network right now, I think might appeal to you on what he's set up. It's growing exponentially. I just had a look at the numbers over there a few minutes ago. I had it up on my screen here, and it's growing exponentially. So maybe we get a chance here in the next couple of days. I'll set you up with a talk with him. As far as these videos still being available on Rumble, I would suggest people go there right now, download them if they can, because they're probably going to be wiped out there very quickly.
Well, I'm very encouraged by, you know, and that's the beautiful thing about this is every day I get to meet more amazing patriots. And if there's one thing that Canadians are, is they are able to adapt and they figure stuff out. And, you know, we're always a little late to pick it up and get going. I mean, anybody that's watched Canada play international hockey knows that we coast till there's about 3 minutes left in the third period.
And then we go
three, and then we decide to play some freaking hockey. Well, the one thing that the globalists haven't quite figured out, and we have historically proven throughout the short period on the world stage that Canada has, is the last. You ask any enemy that has ever fought Canadians, the last people that they want to fight is Canadians. And Canadians, when cornered, are the most dangerous warriors on the planet. And this is what these guys haven't realized, is that they have cornered us now. And there's 26 million of us that are having none of it. And they have created this. So whatever happens from this point forward, they created this. And they're waking up Canadians like they've never been able to to do before, and there's going to be hell to pay.
Well, there has to be. These people have to be held to account. What they've done against us right at this point are crimes against humanity. They're responsible for millions of deaths, and that going forward, the amount of vaccines that have been administered across the planet right now. What's going to happen in the next couple of years, Wayne, is going to blow people's minds when we really start seeing the effects of these experimental drugs on the human race. It's just absolutely mind-blowing. People in my town, a lot of people, Wayne, I'm seeing a shift. I'm really starting to see a shift in people's understanding of what's going on. In the same mouthful, I still have people telling me how glad they are they went and got their second vaccine. That I'm protected now. I'm going, well, what are you protected against? They said, well, I can't get the vac. I can't get. Oh, yes, you can. And that's right out of the government's mouth. And you can still give it. There's absolutely no benefit outside of the fact that this might reduce the symptoms if you ever do get a flu virus. And that's all this is, Wayne, is a flu virus. Go ahead.
I'll give you a perfect example of how hell-bent our government and the establishment is on literally replacing us. By that, I'm talking about wiping us out so that they can recreate the population in their own image. But they are absolutely hell-bent on killing Canadians. And you know how I know this? Because of all of my work with these doctors, I've worked very closely with the Canadian COVID Care Alliance as well. And I was informed on this past Monday that the Canadian Newswire Service had literally refused their press release. Now, this is an organization that has more than, I think, 220 or 250 Canadian doctors that are all trying to do the right thing ethically and morally and right. Medically. And the Canadian Newswire Service refused to accept their press release on a new report on what is going on. So now here it is again, where it's fallen upon us, me, to try and get this message out. Right now, since when in a functioning nation is a guy like me end up with the kind of responsibility that entails to get the message out from 220 of the top doctors in our country? This is a problem.
Boy, is that ever. Communism 2.0 in our face, Wayne, and people better wake up to the fact that we're not living in any kind of a free society anymore. We are living under a dictatorship, and it's really getting out of hand. But I am applauding what you guys are doing. I've been lucky enough to sit in on a few of your roundtables. I see the people that are getting involved in the initiatives you're putting forward. Boy, tell you folks, if there's anybody that really deserves your support right now, and I'll speak for the What's Up Canada, it is What's Up Canada and what Wayne is doing. Go ahead, Wayne.
Well, What's Up Canada is only a small portion of it, and this is where I'm so blessed, is a bunch of amazingly intelligent people have come together a couple of months back and realized that there's a lot more to this battle, and we're not being effective in it. So how could we be more effective? And that was creating a union, a union not as in a union that argues for labor rights, but a union of like minds, of actionable events, things that we could do to be effective together. And so out of that was born a task force group called Ethics Over Fear. And this is now an assembly of some incredibly influential and highly skilled talented individuals and groups and organizations. We're working with Lawyers for Truth, Vaccine Choice Canada, the new Fly Free guys, Canadian Frontline Nurses.
Yep, the 300 Club.
The 300 Club, the Canadian Voters Association, yep. And all kinds of independents along the way that are coming to the table and saying, what can we do together? How can we give the people something to fight back with? How can we arm the people? And that is kind of what the foundation of Ethics Over Fear is. So what this group has done is we've identified things that we could put our brains together on, but then how do we get the message out, right? So this has become kind of a multi-purpose task group where we've created media alliances where we can do things like this simul streaming and getting the message out coast to coast, creating affiliations and like that, so that we can literally give the people the accurate, correct narrative from the beginning. We are doing the work. We are going to be creating the cases. We are going to be fighting the cases and reporting them accurately and independently immediately. This takes the steam out of the mainstream media and the opposition, because now they are no longer on the offensive. They are on the defensive. Mm. So this is kind of the one of the big power groups that is coming together to put the people back in the driver's seat, to put the people back on the offensive. And the other side of it is absolutely a beautiful thing. These people have vision. They have understanding that this insanity will end. It is non-sustainable. But at the end of the day, we are still, through all of the work that we are doing, we are affecting change. We are basically, for layman's terms, red-pilling a nation. And it is then our responsibility, once we've red-pilled somebody, we can't just leave them on the side of the road. We have to show them a direction. We have to show them, I can't be responsible for a soft landing for everybody, but we can show people where they can go. We can hook them up with people and groups and organizations that can help them seek either help, treatment, remedy, justice, legal, media. We can help them find a path forward, because going back to my worst nightmare, if there is no path for anybody, at some point people will start to take justice into their own hands. And if we do that, if that happens, then we bring the almighty fury of the communist socialist regime down upon our heads in the worst possible imaginable way. So we have to be careful. We have to watch out for our people as well in this way. If we see people are being harmed, we've got to meet them where they're at and say, no, violence is not their answer. That is not how you will seek justice. That Absolutely. Is not the way to heal your family or yourself. But we've got people that can help. And we can build forward better by seeing what this looks like on the other side of this collapse and assembling people to be prepared for it.
Yeah, I really applaud what you guys are doing over there and the amalgamation of people that you're bringing together, Wayne, and you're absolutely correct that if we go to arm confrontation against this government, which they're pushing us to do, we are going to lose this fight. So we cannot do that at any point in the future. We cannot go to armed confrontation unless they're at our door with guns and they're ready to kill us. It's a different situation. But if we go into that situation, they are going to win. And I keep telling people that we still have an opportunity to defeat this legally. And I just, like I said, what you're doing right now, boy, you haven't got enough hours in your day for what you're doing, Wayne. We're going to have to hire you an assistant here pretty quick.
You know, it never ceases to amaze me. And I talk to so many people in a day and they're like, how do you do this? And I'm like, well, I've got 25 hats and I line them all up and I just switch them out. And, you know, my brain just goes to work. But it's really not quite like that. But at the end of the day, when I look at what we're able to achieve through heart and initiative and just being adaptive and just being too damn stubborn, I will not allow myself 1 minute of self-pity. I will not allow myself 1 minute of lost hope. I will not allow myself. What I will do is I will get up and say, try it again, bitch, right? And I will find a way, and I will adapt, and I will improvise, and I will win. Here, hold my beer, right? This is the Canadian way that I see and I feel, and I know that there's others out there just like me in this regard. So if right now I have to do the job of 20 people, so be it. When the time comes, there will be 20 people that will come and help me pick up the slack. And they will help carry and build this, what is moving forward, because there is no peaceful way out of this if we don't stop this soon.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%, Wayne, that we are getting to a point now where, you know, the window could possibly close. I didn't think I'd be able to say that at this point. I've seen things accelerate so quick. I see the agendas that they're bringing forward, how hard they're pushing these vaccines right now on the Canadian public, the tyranny that they're bringing down, the loss of our freedoms is just amplifying at light speed. And I think some people really are starting to pay attention. I see all kinds of groups forming now, which is encouraging. I wish there was more I could do for you, except for getting you on here and exposing this and letting you have a talk with people and telling them what you're doing, because what you're doing is so necessary. I wish there was 50 like you in Canada right now, Wayne, to be quite honest, my friend. Because we really do need it. Well, you're not the only one, but what you're doing right now, bringing all these people together, of the hours that you spend, amalgamating all these great people, it's inspiring. So thanks for what you're doing, my friend.
Well, you know, we've gotten to a point here where we have to do some hard reality checks. And for a lot of people, they need to, and I'm gonna say something here, and I don't want it to be taken the wrong way. But in response to my statement about vaccine passes and where this is going on a Facebook post, a guy puts in there a comment that, none of you guys will ever have what I got because I'm Mohawk this, not Canadian. And you're just Canadians. And yeah. I said to him, do you honestly think that you being an Indigenous Canadian or a Native Canadian is going to escape, keep you safe from this alligator? That's a very bad bet to make on your family's lives because they don't differentiate.
No, and a lot of them do have that attitude, unfortunately, Wayne, but that's been instilled.
Everybody does. I'm a Catholic Canadian, or I'm a Ukrainian Canadian, or I'm a French Canadian. Well, you know what? If we don't figure it out and just be Canadian for 5 damn minutes and fight together for that, we're never going to have the rest of it.
Well, they're the masters of division. I mean, they sit for days and weeks and hours in think tanks figuring out how they can divide Canadians because a divided society is a society that's very easy to control and eventually take over. And that's where they're heading right now. The divisions we see right now between the vaxxed and the unvaccinated, how that's being amped up in society. The maskers against the unmasked, this against that. It's always something to keep us divided, fighting amongst ourselves. So we don't really see the true enemy. And they, like I said, they're very good at it. Go ahead.
I had a lawyer tell me something here last week, and it has resonated with me and stuck with me so hard. And this is what I'm seeing out of these conservative party leaders and whatnot, to any incumbent that is using the term, again, going back to the beginning of the show, vote splitting. I want people to remember one thing, and this came from a lawyer. She said to me, all lawyers are cowards. And I thought about that for a second. And I thought, even of those cowards, the ones that can't even make it in the real world because they don't have the spine to argue in the real world, in a real court, they all end up in politics. What is the 90% of the politicians out there? What is their independent career before they went into politics? They're lawyers. They are all cowards, every last one of them. And this is why. This is why these cowards collectively, when we have these nudge groups, these tar sands campaigns and these open societies campaigns and the
lead tax foundations and blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Yes. They terrify these cowards. Why? Because those are the ones that are in their ears. Well, you know what? It's time to put fear where it's actually owned in these cowards from we the people, not these nonprofits and these NGOs and these ultra progressive UN shill groups. So this is a big problem. We've got to change the direction of the fear. We need to stop being afraid, and we need to start putting the proper measure of fear into these cowards that hide in political office.
If ever there was a time for civil disobedience, now is the time. And it's not something that we have or should do. It's something that we have to do. It's our duty, Wayne, that we're seeing our country being destroyed. And all you have to learn to do, folks, is say no. Go ahead. We got about 2 minutes left here, Wayne. So I'm going to let you make a comment, and then I'm going to get you to share with people where they can find you and follow you. And we'll have to let you go, my friend. But it's been a blast. Go ahead.
I only have one word to add to that, Barry. Peaceful civil disobedience. If all of Canada, hashtag say no Canada, if all of Canada says no,
this will go away overnight.
This will go away overnight. And if we do not, if we just use civil unrest or civil disobedience, it'll only get worse. We need to keep peaceful civil disobedience.
Okay. I agree with you. I agree with you 100%.
People will find me. I'm still hanging around on Facebook, although What's Up Canada page is so heavily shadow banned there. It's absolutely ridiculous. You'll find us on Facebook at What's Up Canadian. You'll find us on our website at whatsupcanada.org. And you'll find us on Rumble, Odyssey, Twitter. Twitter, we're burning the forest down on Twitter. So find us over there. You'll have a lot of fun.
Wayne, I got to thank you for coming in today, my friend. Always a pleasure having you on. And I look forward to our next conversation, which will probably be the next couple of days because we do talk on a regular basis. And I love sharing information with you, my friend. It has been a slice. Let you go, my friend. And we'll be back, folks, in about 3 or 4 minutes with Ron Tyler from Emergency Management. We're going to talk about some of the craziness we see going on with the weather and other events happening around the planet. Hang around. Back in 3 minutes.
Well, welcome back, third hour, folks, and thanks again for Wayne coming in. One of the favorite guys that I get to talk to is Wayne Peters. He's just a wealth of information and a true patriot that is spending his whole life right now fighting the tyranny we see coming in our societies. I'm going to switch gears here a little bit in the third hour. I'm joined by Ron Tyler from Emergency Management. Ron spends his time pretty well all the time watching geological and earthquake activity and storms, et cetera, around the planet. I've had him in a couple of weeks, I guess it was maybe 3 weeks ago I had Ron in, and I really enjoy the conversation and the information that he shares with my audience. Welcome back to the show, Ron.
Hey, thank you, Barry. It's good to be with you, too. You're live on the air with Emergency Management Associates as well.
Cool. Good day, folks. So, Ron, what's the big item? What's the big item today? What's the big item today?
The big item today is actually, go figure, New Orleans. New Orleans got hit by a Cat 4 magnitude, or not magnitude, a Cat 4 major hurricane. A major hurricane. The most powerful landfall of a Category 4 hurricane in 200 years. That's incredible.
Wow. I didn't know it was that big. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. It is. It is that big. The storm surge was estimated to be between 10 and 15 feet high over in Mississippi to the east of where this hurricane made landfall. They had a storm surge of 5 to 6 feet, and we are showing right now a couple of people that are on a jet ski helping to rescue people. They're towing a canoe behind them and trying to rescue people. This is a very powerful storm. This is probably one of the most powerful storms that has hit this area in quite some time, and it is by far the most powerful storm that has been seen hitting landfall here in the United States in over 200 years.
Wow. I've been following it, but I didn't realize it was that big, but I understand the fact that it is going to be about a 15-mile wide F3 hitting land. The devastation they're expecting, I hear, is right off the charts.
Yes, it really is. What we saw earlier, we did a program earlier, and you were monitoring our program that we had on. We were showing a roof being torn off a house, nearly hitting another house, and it skipped over. I think it probably flew over the other house's backyard and hit a traffic signal light above an intersection and took it down. It's just incredible. Who would have thunk?
So how big a storm surge do you figure they're going to get with this, Ron?
I think we're going to probably have the storm surge that they predicted of 10 to 15 feet high. The reason? Because we had winds when this storm first struck just off the coast. There's a barrier island just off the coast of New Orleans, and it hit with 180-mile-per-hour sustained winds.
Wow.
When it skipped over the Gulf of Mexico between that barrier island and New Orleans, it had come down to 156 miles per hour sustained wind. And then someone said that it had a gust, a sustained wind of 160 miles per hour, which is just under what it was when it hit that barrier island. We also have reports of an oil rig being destroyed out in the Gulf of Mexico. We cannot confirm that because the storm watching aircraft that the Air Force put up is no longer in the air. It is on the ground, and they're not going to put it back up in the air until sometime tomorrow after this storm has completely gone inland. Now, this storm has reached, I believe, about 20 miles inland to Houma, Houma, Louisiana. That's where the eye of the hurricane is now. We expect probably within the next hour for this hurricane to be downgraded to a Category 3 storm. We hope. That would put it at sustained winds of 150 miles per hour and gusts of up to 180. So it is still a very powerful storm. Now, even given that, even if they downgraded it at this point in time, even if they downgraded it, it would still be a very destructive storm, as destructive as Hurricane Katrina was in September 2005. And we saw what happened there.
Right.
The only difference between this one and Katrina is, from what we have heard, so far from what we have heard, the levees have stood. The levees didn't stand back during Hurricane Katrina, and New Orleans was basically destroyed.
Right.
They had to literally rebuild New Orleans from the ground up. Yep. Now, we showed earlier here it is. We just put it up on our show right now, on the screen, a slide showing what was proposed to be levees that were to be built and installed in New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina. And those were installed and, in fact, were very operational during this hurricane and the previous hurricanes during the past few years. Now, that doesn't mean New Orleans doesn't get wet. It just means that it's not going to suffer devastating floods, as in 4 and 5 foot high, 6 foot high water.
Right.
Now, during Hurricane Katrina, water was seen up at the eaves of homes, just under the eaves of homes, 5 and 6 feet high. Some people were hiding in their attics to get away from water. Some attics filled with water and the people drowned. That's the truth of the matter. Mm. Some people were able to pound out the roofing,
shingles,
the boards, the shingles and the wood holding the roof on. They were able to pound that out and get out onto the roof to be rescued. Now, it should be, we need to tell this story. I hesitated to tell it before, but I'm going to tell it now. After Hurricane Katrina had left the area, a crew of Federal Protective Service police had come into New Orleans to help restore order and keep things going, because New Orleans police took off. They booked before the hurricane came in, and they stayed gone. They didn't come back. Now, when the police went out, the police and firemen and paramedics went out and patrolled the areas, they went and knocked on doors that had been flooded out. They knocked on doors of the homes that had been flooded out. And when they did not find anybody in the home, they put an X on the door with paint. They X'd it, meaning nobody's there. If there was somebody dead in the home, to the left of the X, they put DOA and the number of people. If there are people that was found alive in that home, then to the right of that X, they just put the number of the people they found alive in the home and rescued those people. That's how they went and determined the number of people that had been killed by Hurricane Katrina. And it was over 1,800 people killed during Hurricane Katrina. And untold numbers, we don't have the exact figures of the numbers of people that had been injured by either flying debris or that had been injured by the floodwaters and everything else that happened at, you know, during and after Hurricane Katrina. It was not a pretty sight. Not at all. And the fact is that people that had been rescued from their homes and various places around the city of New Orleans had been taken to the Superdome there in New Orleans, or just outside of New Orleans, for safekeeping. That way they at least had some place to stay that was dry. But a lot of those people that were there destroyed the Superdome. They took it apart. They defecated all over it. They destroyed it, which was sad. the city of New Orleans and the state of Louisiana gave them a place to stay, and they destroyed it. They did not respect it. It's no wonder that the city was in the shape it was at the time that Hurricane Katrina struck. Now, I'm not saying that the residents were responsible for all the damage, but I am saying that the people that were put in a place where they could be safe didn't respect the place that they had. Now, not just that, but a lot of people looted New Orleans. There were police officers that had been sent over to Walmart there in New Orleans. I understand there's several of them, but one of the Walmarts in New Orleans, police officers were sent there to stop looting. They broke in the windows of the store and let themselves into the store and were taking things out without having paid for them. And to top it off, a New Orleans police officer was seen looting as well, loading stuff into his police car to take off. He was arrested by Federal Protective Service police. Now,
I've heard all kinds of stories like that, Ron. Go ahead.
Yeah. It's a sad day when that happens. But the problem, the real problem is this. The cops that didn't come back and the cops that remained were crooked. The cops that remained, including lieutenants and sergeants and regular patrol officers, went door to door through residential neighborhoods and looted homes. They knocked on the doors and asked people if they had weapons, and if they did, they confiscated the weapons illegally.
Yep.
So those officers were also arrested. You know, there's other stories too numerous to tell right now, but yeah, it was a sad day for New Orleans. Fortunately, we have levees that held, and I hope they continue to hold throughout the night. This is still a heavy-duty storm, and all that water weighs a lot of tonnage.
Right. Question, Ron. Question. Yes. So the hurricane's actually made landfall now, right? And it's moved inland slightly?
Yes, at about 12:45 p.m. today.
Okay, so have you had any videos so far of damage to the coast?
We've had a few videos. We've seen a few videos of damage that we aired earlier on our earlier program. Okay. We hope to be able to get more video and more still photography of the damage and what has happened. Now, before this hurricane hit yesterday, we had stories that came to light that we were not aware of before we saw them, but we had articles that we read about the levees sinking into the ground. We were not ready for that one. That was brand new news to us. We were not aware of it. And fortunately for us, fortunately for the people in New Orleans and throughout Louisiana, the levees so far have held. Okay. But if it is indeed true that the levee walls have sunk into the ground, that's indeed another complete issue that needs to be handled before we get another storm. And quite frankly, we have other storms out there just waiting to come in.
Yeah, there's two forming out there that I saw. It's just they're lining up. They're lining up right now. They're lining up, Ron. That's what it looks like.
Yes.
But all that being said,
what the weatherman said yesterday is that they hope the dry, sandy air coming in off the northern Sahara Desert will calm them down and keep them to be as small as possible or completely dilute the possibility of them even becoming a tropical storm. I hope that's the case. Because another large storm like this could cause havoc throughout the Gulf of Mexico, and I'm talking Florida, Cuba, Jamaica, Texas, Louisiana, everybody, all through the Gulf Coast from Florida, Alabama, that whole area.
So my understanding that the New Orleans didn't get direct hit, they just glanced it. Is that correct?
No, New Orleans got the direct hit.
They did, eh? Okay. No, I was looking at it about 2 hours before we went on the air here, and I was just looking at the track. I thought New Orleans missed it, but if they got had directs yet, boy, they're lucky the levees held. But they did quite a bit of work to those levees after Katrina. I know that.
Yeah, they did. They did. So, like I said, I've got a picture of the levees that had been proposed and were indeed built after Katrina, and it looks good. It looks very good. And right now they're holding. The good thing about this, the real good thing about this, is Lake Pontchartrain, which is just east of New Orleans, it's holding. It was flooding as well after Hurricane Katrina, but right now it's taking the water. And that is a good thing for the city of New Orleans. It's taking the water.
Right. Or else they'd have a big problem on their hands if they can't dispose of it, of course. Well, I'm hoping for the best for those folks down there because they've been hit and hit and hit. Of course, that goes with living down in that area of the world, but I just hope not too many people die results of this, but we know a few will.
Yeah. I'm just hoping that things stay like they are now and that people are safe. That's all I hope for.
Absolutely. Everything else can be replaced.
I saw complete destruction the last time I was down there. I've seen pictures. I have been around that whole area. And that area had complete and utter destruction. The only good thing about what happened... I'm sorry, my roommate got a telephone call. The good thing that happened this time, the levees held. There is no extreme flooding to speak of. There is some, but it's not as extreme as it could be. And as long as the levees continue to hold, New Orleans will have dodged the bullet.
Over
a great big, they would have dodged the bullet. They would have hopped over it. And I hope it stays that way. Things could be really bad.
Well, you know what, Ron, in comparison to the rest of the world, they might have dodged a bullet. But, boy, I'll tell you, the amount of flooding that we've seen on the planet Earth here in the last 3 or 4 months, it's just beyond anything that I'd ever thought I'd see in my lifetime, the amount of thousand-year floods that we've experienced. So, like you said, they've dodged a bullet, but a lot of other countries in this world haven't. And, boy, I'll tell you, have you ever seen anything like this in your life?
I can truthfully say that I've never seen anything like this in my entire life. The world has been hit with a plague, and I'm not talking the plague, but a plague that a lot of the people in the world are not going to come out of. And the politicians of the day are not helping matters either. But it's not just the politics. It's not just a virus. We are seeing utter catastrophes happening around the world. Can you imagine what would happen if we had the 9.0 magnitude earthquake? Actually, it was a 9.2. Hit the South Sandwich Islands and continued hammering by major earthquakes weeks after the first earthquake hit. Can you imagine what would have happened at any inland area, whether it be Africa, South America, Central America, China, Taiwan, the Philippines, Indonesia, Australia, the United States, Canada? Can you imagine what would have happened if we would have had a 9.2 earthquake, for example, in the Pacific Northwest, a Cascadia subduction zone quake, and then it continued to hammer for weeks with major and large earthquakes hammering the area?
Our biggest concern right now, Ron, should actually be the Cascadia subduction zone, because when that one lets go, and we know it's overdue, and I've been studying that one for years, I know you have too, if that thing lets go, our lives are going to change forever, right across the world. And people say, how can that happen with one earthquake? Well, Ron, the one thing that I've studied over the last 5-10 years is earthquakes and reference to nuclear power plants and how many nuclear power plants are actually in danger from major earthquake activity, especially on the west coast of North America. And I'll tell you, my friend, if we see a major movement on the Cascadia subduction, you're going to see some meltdowns that are really going to wake up the human race. You think Fukushima was bad, Ron? Wait till we see 5 or 6 major meltdowns on the west coast of North America with the winds prevailing from the west to the east. We are committing suicide right now, my friend, and that's the only way I can describe nuclear insanity. I mean, we have seen in history of the planet, we have seen lots of major geological events happen. We've seen ice age happens. We've seen all kinds of stuff. The Earth has been hit by asteroids, but life has always survived. But what I see now is a potential to actually wipe out all living organisms on the planet Earth. And that, of course, would be 5 or 6 major meltdowns going off at the same time, the Cascadia events of those meltdowns going off in relation to other fault lines around the world that are ready to move right now. Yellowstone's a ticking time bomb. We're living on borrowed time, buddy. And all I can say is get your popcorn, because I think things are going to get very interesting here in the next little while. I hope people are prepared, Ron. I really do. I hope people are prepared.
I hope so. Like you said, everybody, you need to get out your popcorn, your soft drinks, whatever you're going to drink, and get ready, because this next movie is going to be a thriller.
It is. It is. And, well, hey, you know, I've been watching the Cascadia for years, Ron. I've been studying that for years. And, you know, I've looked at multiple reports over the years on that particular subduction zone because of the potential for catastrophe. And we're in a very, very volatile time right now with that particular subduction zone. It's approximately, and I've looked at, like I said, probably 10 different studies on it over the last 5 years, and they tell us that we're about 70 years overdue for major movement. And, of course, the longer it goes, the more pressure builds up. The longer it goes, the bigger the earthquake's going to be when it hits. It'll destroy all substructures and all highways will be knocked out, and you'll have a tsunami coming in that's going to blow people's mind. All our West Coast shipping will be shut down for a year, Ron. No food coming in and out, no commerce. Boom, boom, boom. Oh, the implications are unbelievable. Unbelievable. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's crazy. I just got a notification that the Cajun Navy is over there in New Orleans, and the authorities are now telling people to move to higher ground. I don't know what that means yet, whether levees collapsed, but they're telling people to head for higher ground.
In the city of New Orleans?
Yes.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah.
Well, if the levees go, we'll see. Well, if the levees go, then we'll see the same kind of catastrophe we saw with Katrina.
Yeah, that's true. That's so
maybe
true.
Maybe it's time to move New Orleans. Maybe it's time to move New Orleans, Ron.
I don't want to go to New Orleans. If you want to go to New Orleans, there's probably a piece of swampland that they have for you. And
you'll be able to get cheap real estate. we shouldn't laugh because it's not funny, but it is. No. In the same level, it's funny. What else is going on crazy around the world, Ron? We're seeing earthquakes going off. Like, I was looking at some of the numbers here, and I don't follow it like you do, but my understanding is in the last 3 weeks we've seen, I forget the exact number, I think it's 21 earthquakes over 7 magnitude. I believe that's the number I saw in the last 3 weeks, which is a spike in activity that I don't believe we've seen in our recorded history is what I was looking at. Am I correct in saying that?
Yes. And actually, my numbers say there was 25, but that's okay. Okay. You know, give or take 4 or 5. But there's still been a ton of them.
And big ones.
We still are expecting a couple of planetary alignments to boot during the next few days. And we still have a couple of days left in this month. And planetary alignments cause an electromagnetic imbalance. And what that does, it sends electromagnetic radiation to the Earth, which helps heat up the plates. And when they heat up, all that grime and gunk that's stuck between the plates becomes like an oil or a grease between the plates, making it easier for the plates to move. So that's not a good thing. Now, the other issue that we've had during the past few days, we've seen several coronal mass ejections from the sun. That's not a good thing either. So far, we've had a C, we've had an M, and we've had a G-class flare during the last 3 days. First, we had the C, then we had the G, and then we had the M-class flare yesterday. Now, the G-class flare flew like Ryan's Fury across the solar system and hit Earth within a matter of hours. That one was high-pitched, fast-moving solar flare. And the guys that go chasing these auroras all over the world, oh, they've got a treasure trove of pictures to show and tell about. But the radiation that the Earth has suffered is immeasurable. Now, we've just come off a grand solar minimum, and the grand solar minimum has wreaked havoc on our magnetosphere, which is usually protecting us from solar radiation, from cosmic radiation, protecting us from asteroids and comets and all sorts of stuff. Well, that magnetosphere being so weak, it's hardly protecting us at all. And this solar radiation, the cosmic radiation, everything else is coming through almost unfiltered. And so gradually we're working ourselves into a solar maximum, and usually during solar maximums, it builds up the magnetosphere again. But we haven't totally seen that yet. So that worries everybody, a lot of people. And it's causing cancer. I'm telling you this because my dear parents died of cancer, not from the solar radiation necessarily. They died in, my mom died in 1991. Gosh, it's unreal. Holy crud. 30 years she's been gone. Man. Anyway, she died of cancer in 1991. Our stepmother died in 2006, and our father died in 2011. And they had cancer due to electromagnetic radiation.
Interesting.
That was from power lines, high-tension power lines in the area where they lived.
Okay, that explains it all. That explains it all.
Yeah.
The worst thing you can do is live near a high-power line, period. Go ahead. I know that.
Yeah. It's incredible, Barry. It's completely incredible. And to know what is happening with our sun launching CME after CME, that's what it's been. I'm not trying to sugarcoat this at all. That's exactly what it's been. CME, coronal mass ejection after coronal mass ejection. And sometimes there's a few days between them. Other times it's day after day after day. And this solar magnetic radiation coming from the planetary alignments, the coronal mass ejections coming from the sun with the radiation. Wow. It's incredible.
Talking about a silent killer, right?
Yeah, a silent killer.
Question, Ron.
Everything else that we have.
Okay, question, Ron. The Great Barrington event that happened in the 1870s. What class of ejection would that be? And is that a possibility to see another one of those at this particular point? Because if it does happen, it's going to create havoc on the planet like we've never seen before.
Yes, it is. We believe that it's not just possible, it's very possible that it could happen. Everything that I've read, everything I've studied, and everything I've talked to people about, it was probably an X-class flare that started that. We don't know because we didn't have the scientists like we do now that studied this thing.
Right.
But all of a sudden, there was a spike, electromagnetic radiation spike, that went through the power lines, melting some of the power lines that powered the telegraph system. And then there was a gentleman, bless his heart, that was sitting in front of a telegraph key, didn't even touch the telegraph key. Now, for those people that are not familiar with Morse code, those people that are not familiar with telegraph, It's a metal key that literally taps on a piece of metal below it, sending out an electrical signal in dots and dashes. That's what it's about, a telegraph.
Right.
And he was sitting at the key and got electrocuted.
Hmm.
He was even touching it.
What year did that happen, Ron?
I believe it was 1856.
Okay. So in the infancy of telegram and Morse code.
Yeah. Really.
Yeah. If that same event happened today, what would it do, Ron?
It would knock out our power grid. Everybody needs to be aware of this. About 20 years ago, there was a group of scientists that went to Congress and testified before Congress about the fragility or the frail, is that what I want to say, fragility of our electrical system, our grid system. And one grid is connected to another, and connected right. to another.
Right.
They testified to Congress saying, hey, guys, we need to do something about this to stabilize our grid, or when we have a major CME again, it can go down. Or if we have a CME, but not from the sun, but from a BOMB, something that begins with an N. I don't even like to talk about it because YouTube and everybody else doesn't want to hear that word. But if we had a rogue nation that ignited one of those flying BOMBs above our surface, not even hitting the surface of the Earth, but above us, it could knock our grid out and take us back to the 1800s where we wouldn't have any electrical radios, we would not have any cars that ran. If we had any cars that ran, it would be a car that was manufactured before 1970 that doesn't require computers or anything like that. Right. And even then, I wonder about what they call points. Those of you that are younger than I am don't even know what points on a car, on a carburetor is. It's an electrical connection that would ignite a spark of gas, a spark to gas, to start the fuel process flowing to run your engine. Whether we have a computer that runs our car or those point system in the carburetor, it doesn't matter. I think the points would probably be welded shut.
Right, with the pulse.
That's what, you know, go ahead.
Well, that would sure create a little bit of chaos in society, wouldn't it, Ron, when people all of a sudden can't turn on the light switch? Everything gets turned upside down. We're back in the 1870s. How many people would be able to survive an event like that? Not very many, yeah. Ron, to be quite honest. Not very many. You'd say chaos in society like we've never seen before. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's true. Everybody needs to have a can, a bag, a box where they can put their electronics in to keep them from frying during a CME kind of event, whether it's right. from a BOMB or whether it's a solar event, it doesn't matter. You need to get yourself a Faraday cage, a Faraday bag.
Right.
And you can make them yourself. On this program months ago, we talked about how to build a Faraday cage out of an aluminum trash can. The aluminum trash can would be the piece of metal that would absorb the shock of the CME or the shock of the BOMB that's ignited above the surface. And if you put thick cardboard at the bottom and all over the inside of that trash can, including the lid, the inside lid of that trash can, it would protect the valuables within your trash can, and you don't let any of your electronics touch that middle of the trash can. Make sure they're sitting up off the trash can and protected by that cardboard around it. That's how to build a Faraday cage very, very cleanly, very inexpensively. There are other ways that you can build it as well. The plans are on YouTube. The plans are all over the internet. Every person needs to do their own thing because not everybody is going to be able to have the same kind of Faraday cage. It's called a Faraday bag, a Faraday cage, whatever you want to call it. But that's what it's going to take to protect your electronics, whether it's your computers, your radios, your television, whatever. I can't put my 62 or 68 inch flat screen television in a trash can to protect it. But I might be able to build something to go around it to protect it. However, how about my DVD player? How am I going to protect that? Am I going to even be able to play DVDs in the future? Or my DVDs also going to be ruined by that electronic charge? It's unknown. It's all a huge and big unknown. So our lives will change drastically if that were to happen.
Oh, unbelievable. Unbelievable. Like you said, you'd see complete turn upside down of society. It'd be the strongest will survive. People that are prepared to live in the bush and have bush skills and those kind of skills in life will be the ones that survive. People in the city will perish because they have no idea to provide for themselves. And, boy, if that ever happens, Ron, I'm glad I live where I live because at least I can get out in the bush. But I wouldn't want to be in a big city when something like that happens.
Yeah. I'm nowhere near a big city. The town where I live is maybe 5,000 people, and they're spread out about 28 square miles.
You're in California, are you not? Are you in California?
No, I'm in North Carolina.
Okay. I thought you were in California. I wouldn't want to live in California. Boy, that place has really gone down the tubes, to say the least.
Yeah, I used to live in San Diego. I moved away from there in April 2000 to get away from the gangs and get away from the high prices. I moved to Denver, southwest of Denver, where I thought, oh, this is great. There were no gangs to speak of. There's gangs in downtown Denver. Don't get me wrong. There's gangs there. But where I lived, there's no gangs. It's peace and quiet. But I found out within just a few months of moving there, I'd been a cop in San Diego. I had to get away from the gangs. My life was worth squat in San Diego. I had gangs hounding me every day that I was on patrol. Gangs in my neighborhood when I came home. So I left to go to Denver. Wouldn't you know, the first person that I was to arrest in Denver happened to be one of the same gang members that I arrested in San Diego.
Oh, so you were in law enforcement?
Yes, I had been.
Huh, how many years were you a police officer?
24.
Well, I take my hat off to you, Ron. That's not a job that everybody can do. And, you know, over the years, I've met a lot of good cops. I've met a lot of bad cops. But I take my hat off to what you're doing. You're a necessity in society. This defund the police movements in the states. Are you talking about insanity, man? That's a good idea. Let's get rid of the cops, man. Let's just bring the gangs in, let them run crazy and get rid of the cops and watch Americans die. And that's what's happening. Well, that's what's happening in your country right now. I mean, this guy that's running your country right now, he's not even a joke. I can't even laugh at him anymore. It's just so sad to see what's going on down there right now, my friend. It really is. And I hope you guys can get it corrected pretty quick. It is. It's just unbelievable, especially the fiasco we just saw in Afghanistan. Ron, what do you think about that? Walk away and leave your citizens, get the military out, watch people die. What kind of guy does that? What kind of does this?
I am thankful that a lot of people escaped, but they did. Not everybody escaped. 13 members of the United States military were killed, and 180 people wounded. 180 people wounded because two suicide bombers decide they're going to get together and kill people, and not just them, but they took along some shooters that came along and shot our guys too, and shot other people. Then what happened yesterday, I don't know whether you heard about it or not, but we sent up a high altitude drone that was armed, and we took out a vehicle with two more suicide people inside, as well as others. And our military, there was a, I think it was an army captain that addressed the the press yesterday and said, I think we successfully got them. And when I saw those words, I'm going, you think you're confident that we got them? They're not even sure. What the heck is this?
Yeah, there was a warning.
It sounds like Jimmy Carter all over again. We're not sure whether we got them or not, but...
Well, everything I've watched about that whole fiasco, it just baffles my mind how a sitting president can do what this guy did to the country, unless his objective was to completely destroy the United States of America. And that, we know, of course, is Joe Biden's objective. We know what the Democrats are all about. The fact that they stole this election down there and that's still allowing to go on. Ron, America has to stand up and get rid of these guys, or else you're not going to have a country left. And then the rest of the world will be falling, because Americans, the last bastion of freedom in the world. And if America goes down, we're all done. So love or hate them, I'm praying for your country right now, bud, because what I see going on, like I said, I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. So let's hope we can get away with that.
I pray for you guys in Canada, too, because you guys have your share of problems with police up there arresting pastors, arresting people because they are not getting the vax like they're being told to do. Australia's suffering the same kind of humiliation down there. The whole world's out of control. You know,
It is. And it's really getting bad up here, Ron.
Yeah, I have dear friends like you all over Canada. I have them in Australia. I've got dear friends in England, all over the world. And this kind of stuff is happening to them. I fear for everybody's lives. I do.
Well, with this whole vaccine regimen, it's genocide, Ron. It is absolute genocide what they're doing, especially the part that bothers me the most. And all human lives matter, but what they're doing to our children right now with these so-called jabs, it brings tears to my heart every day when I realize that children are being damaged for absolutely no reason. And we as an educated society are allowing this to go on. What is going on in our world when we're allowing children to be injected with an experimental jab that we know by the CDC's own admission that we have now lost 300 children, and these numbers are small. These numbers, I believe, are way underreported, that we've lost 300 children now under the age of 18 years of age from taking the vaccine. What is going on, Ron? What is going on?
Tens of thousands of people have been killed taking that vaccine. I saw numbers this morning that just terrified me. Young people, teenagers, under age of 12 even, taking that vaccine and dying within the first or the second stick within 2 weeks. I mean, that is terrifying. We were told that children under 16 didn't need it. They were not even thought of needing it. And now they're vaccinating them. And the sad thing is, I know two young men in Utah that were forced by my ex's sister and brother-in-law, forced those two young men to get vaxxed. They didn't need it. They were completely healthy, and now they're sick. What kind of crap is that?
We are seeing unbelievable reports like that coming around from all over the planet right now. We're on the effect on young people from this vaccine, the effect on swelling around their hearts, the ones that are dying. This is just, it's lunacy. And I every day I go, like, where are the parents? I mean, we're supposed to be an educated society. We're supposed to be able to rationalize what is going on around us and not question everything that we're being told. But unfortunately, we are at a point now where the people just blindly follow the government. They go home, they watch mainstream media at night, they drink that diarrhea, and they go to bed. We've got to change the paradigm, man.
Well, I agree. A good friend of mine, Glenn Beck, told me a long time ago, and he told his listeners a long time ago, question boldly, B-O-L-D-Y, capitalized. Question boldly. Don't accept everything that you're told, and not even half of what you see. You can't.
No, it's your responsibility. It's your responsibility as an adult to investigate. You know, I've only got a grade 9 education, Ron, but I've been able to kind of figure this out because I spent the time on the internet. I've listened to the experts talk. I've rationalized everything that's going on, and it's lunacy. But we need the general population to wake up to this very, very quick because we're, you know, the window of opportunity to stop this madness. I'm not saying it's closing real quick, but it will close in the future. And then we won't be able to stop what's coming. But we still have that window now. So it's really important that we put our pedal to the metal. It really is.
It really is. I absolutely agree. We have to do it now. We don't have tomorrow. Tomorrow's not given.
No, first time in my life, I'm in fear for my country, really in fear. And not so much for myself because I'm 67 now. I've had a good life in Canada, but I have children and grandchildren that sit on my lap. And it just tears me apart what I see coming. I really ask myself every day, what's wrong with people? Why can people not see what is so obvious right now? Like the trees are right in your face and you can't see the forest. I just don't know what to say to some people right now because the information, it doesn't take more than a couple hours in the internet to go look up alternative information to what's going on. And you'll really start asking some questions. People can't seem to take that time to do that, Ron. That's really very sad. Very sad.
Yeah, very it is. I've never seen anything like it. I hope we don't ever have to see it again. But I think it's in our face, and I'm not going to accept it. I'm going to die fighting it. I've told people that. I'll go to my grave fighting it.
Amen. I'm with you. I'll stand back to back with you any day, brother, any day. And you know what, Ron? There's a lot of people here now that I'm talking to that feel the same way, that really are starting to get it just exactly how much trouble we're in and what could happen in the very near future. We don't get our poop together right now and put a stop to it. So I'm praying every day that the general population wakes up and they find the testicles to put a stop to this because we seem to have lost that in our society. You know, the demasculation of the American male has taken many years to really affect our society. But now we're starting to see the effects of it where men just don't seem to want to stand up against something that's so obvious. So my prayer today is that that changes, Ron. I pray that that changes very quickly because I don't wish what's coming on anybody, buddy. I just don't wish it on anybody. And we can all see it coming. The geological events. Well, you know, we talk today about everything that's going on in the world. And if you really put it into context, Ron, it's mind-boggling. The amount of flooding, the amount of fires we have seen on the planet this year, the amount of earthquake activity that we're seeing right now, everything is off the scales right now. And it could be, like I said, get your popcorn and sit back because I think we're going to see some really crazy stuff happen. My only saying to people right now is that if you can, any way at all, prepare for possibly bad days. Put away some food. Make sure you can protect your family and perhaps get into some solid metals and stuff like that. Because I believe that the collapse of the dollar is just around the corner. That'll be a mechanism they use to bring complete control to society. I believe the RFID chip is just one step away right now. We see all this stuff coming, so prepare yourself. And like I said, I'm ready to go out on my feet, Ron. I'm not going out on my knees, so it's good to talk to somebody that feels the same way. But nice having you in today.
I got your back, brother. I've got your back today, tomorrow, and the next day.
Ready to go to war. Well, you know, we all are. We, you know, for years and years and years, people that have kind of looked at the rabbit holes and gone down them and understand what the globalist agenda is and how it's going to be played out in society. We all talked about this for years and years. I mean, I can go back to shows we did 7 or 8 years ago, and we talked about exactly what's unfolding right now in our world. Well, all that being said, folks, like I said, the most important thing that you can do, there's a lot of people that aren't going to listen to what we have to say, Ron, and there'll be people that do. But the most important thing I think people can do right now is to make sure they take care of their own, you know, your direct family. Make sure that you have something set aside because a lot of people aren't going to be prepared. And when chaos erupts, of course, out of chaos comes control.
So. Yeah, that's exactly what I've been saying all along. We've been talking about this on my program over 2 years now, almost 2.5 years, very close to 2.5 years. Prepare, prepare, prepare. And I'm not going to stop. I'm going to continue saying it until people get tired of me. And then I'm going to continue saying it. We got to save some lives here, even our own. We pray for it. Pray to be saved. Pray to help yourselves, your family, and to help those that you care about. That's what we got to do.
Well, I do. I see all this chaos unfolding in the world, but I have a peace also in my life because I'm a Christian. And I know that I know in my own life what I believe is to be real. I see what's coming. And if I didn't have a spiritual connection right now in my life, I would honestly, I would lose it. I would not be able to function because society is just going totally upside down. So I start my day with a prayer every day, and that's all I'm going to say about that. Bring the peace in
me
my
too.
Life. So
me too.
We know that we're into those times right now, Ron. There's no denying that we're in absolutely crazy times. But if you know, I've studied biblical prophecy for the last 4 or 5 years in extensive studies, and I understand what it talks about this particular time and how everything's playing out exactly how it's supposed to play out and where we're going in the future. I can't change that. All I can do right now is make sure that my life is in order, period, and my spiritual connection is strong. And that's all I can say to people. I'm not going to sit here and preach to people. I'm just telling people that in my life, it's really made a difference that I can't even begin to describe to you. When you have that connection with the Holy Spirit, it will change you forever. Go ahead, Ron.
Exactly. You hit the nail on the head. Have that spiritual connection that won't give you up and you won't give it up. Have it connected to you. Absolutely. You hit the nail on the head, Darren.
Well, you know, I'm speaking with my heart, Ron. I mean, at this point in life, there is nothing more important than to speak with your heart. We all need to open up and speak with our hearts because that's been taken away in our world and never has been a more important time for people to be able to communicate with each other. Really lay your heart out. And everybody's hurting. Everybody's feeling the stresses that's been brought into our world over this scamdemic in the last 18 months. Society is being turned upside down. It is really having an effect on people. And all I can say is when you really feel chaos in your life, just say a little prayer. See what happens. It'll absolutely amaze you if you really open up and talk to them. Go ahead, Ron.
That's exactly right. Barry, it's been a pleasure, more than a pleasure. I'm honored to have you on our show. I'm honored to talk with you and to share information with you and to help each other. I love it.
Well, hey, Ron, I've been listening to you talk for a while, and I knew there's a connection there right away because we both understand where we're going and what's coming in the near future, and we both love humanity. I know I just don't want to see people suffer. Unfortunately, millions of people are going to suffer. I can't do anything about that. All I can do is live in my truth right now. And what else have we got, buddy? What else have we got? We're out of here soon. I know that. I'm going to the other side soon. I I'm 67. I don't know how many years I got left. I hope I got lots. But if I leave today, buddy, so be it. I'll go and see my mom and dad.
Me too. I am too.
I'm looking forward to that.
I'm 2 years behind you, brother.
Okay, look at Ron. We got about 3 minutes left here. Why don't you again share where people can find you and where they can tune in and listen to you on a regular basis. And if you got a website, share that with us too.
Yes, you can go to our YouTube channel, Emergency Management Associates. And on that YouTube channel, any of our programs, you can find out about emergency preparedness. You can find out about everything that's going on. And in our program description, it's ways to contact us, ways you can find our website. Our website's right there in that program description, and ways you can support our program. We appreciate that. Every day it helps for people to help support our program, to keep the lights on here, and keep us being able to bring the truth to the world. That's what we want to do. Just like you, Barry, bringing the truth to the world any way possible.
Well, I thank you for what you're doing, Ron, and the way I kind of look at your whole situation over there is that you're giving people a little bit of a warning possibly on things that are going to happen, especially with earthquake activity and things that people can be aware of that you're not hearing about on mainstream. If you save one life by preparing somebody for something that can possibly happen and they listen to you, then you've had a very good day. And at this point in history, we're seeing some crazy stuff going forward here in the next little while. We really are going to see some turmoil. So prepare yourself, folks. That's all I can say. It's just, if you can, like I said earlier in the show, prepare yourself a little bit. It's always good to have something and need it, or need something and have it, than to need it and not have it. Same goes with firearms and anything else that you can do to prepare yourself. Hey, Ron, it's been great having you in, and we'll have to do this again in the very near future. Thank you, my friend, for joining
me. Yes, I hope so. I hope we can get together frequently. It's a pleasure, and it's awesome to talk with you, Barry. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ron. Well, folks, that's a wrap for this. Thank you. Well, folks, that's a wrap for this week. And I've enjoyed the conversations I've had today. I hope we've been able to bring some information forward. Roger was on fire today. Wayne always brings great information to the table. And Ron here, I've enjoyed this last hour immensely. We'll look forward to doing it again. And I'll be back next week, same time, same place. You guys all have a great week. God bless you, and bye for now.